you doing?
Whom's gonna talk?
Whom?
All right, I'm recording, and we are live on the Latio cast.
We're live,
pal. Goddamn,
son.
It is episode 487 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, coming to your ear holes via whatever platform you listen to your favorite podcast on. The best podcast, the best wrestling podcast, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We have Bobby Valla joining us tonight. He is an action figure creator, a friend of the KJG, and he has put a beautiful Sergeant Slaughter figure together that we're going to talk about. Plus, Tony doesn't know what a swamp match is, so we're going to talk about a swamp match. Everybody has COVID-19. Impact doesn't have a world champion. Fighter Fest. Great American Bash. We got a ton of stuff to talk to, and it's all next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
That was good. Hey, Brandy, you got a spray tan or what?
Yeah, I just don't know which one I should use. You guys got a preference?
So hungry. God, same as starving. Hey, you guys, did you have my chance to go catering yet or no?
No, it's terrible.
Are you kidding me? So on top of a terrible day of Dynamite, we have to put up with bad catering too?
What are you gonna do?
Man, you know what?
I mean, we got candy.
That's great, but you know what I want for once?
What do you want?
Tell us. You kidding me? You don't know what I want?
Can't read minds.
Yeah, it's not obvious.
No. Give us a clue.
Okay, one clue.
Okay.
It's a big one. Very obvious. Ready for it?
All right.
Okay. Please.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I know.
Yeah.
Here, I'll help you out.
That's it. Yeah, you know it.
Oh. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know it. Ready for it? Oh, come on. You don't know it yet.
Come
you're
on.
Real? For real?
I know it.
Okay. I'll give you a little more. A little more. You ready for it?
I know
you know. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back,
baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
Chili's baby back ribs. Chili's baby back ribs. Do 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 do. I want my baby back ribs.
Barbecue sauce.
That sounds good.
Yeah. What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Hi, I'm Tony, and I'm in the mood for ribs, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt. Kevin, somewhere over there.
Died.
No, I have the little mute button up there. I enjoyed your little Chili's baby rack rib bullshit. Unnecessary. It brings up terrible memories for me.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. You like when Adam Page kicked in at the end there?
What, the barbecue sauce?
No, he was singing. Like, that was him that went for it at the end. He was like, Chili's! That was all your man fucking cowboy shit.
Fucking Chili's. Gross.
Which is odd because he doesn't really feel like he fits in. Like, whenever they're doing the elite shit, you know, the BE elite, he's always sitting there, like, drinking his drink and not paying attention, just texting. And motherfucker jumped right in because he wanted some baby back ribs, bitch.
I can't tell you the last time I had Chili's, let alone baby back ribs.
Yeah, me too. Same boat. Haven't been to Chili's probably since like a New Year's when we got them catered from Chili's.
Right. Remember when I used to work at Chili's.
That's right.
And I would use my manager card. After I work at a place for a certain amount of time, it's very, very hard for me to go back there.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, you've fucking been there how long and you're, you know, constantly around that food and
well, that's what it is. It's just a food. I've had every, like.
But, like, you also, typically when you leave a job like that, you're not leaving. It's like, oh, hey, come back anytime you want. Usually it's like, fuck you, fuck this, I'm out of here. Right?
Pretty much.
I mean, people don't typically leave the food services industry and have like a, oh, everything was wonderful. I just felt like, you know, like blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, fuck that. I'm leaving.
Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know. You want me to say yada, yada, yada? Is that even a thing anymore? I don't know.
Is Chili's that like not good that you can't find your way back home at some point?
Ooh.
In terms of going back to Chili's?
Not to work, obviously.
No, to eat. I mean, it's all the same, you know? You work there for, I don't know, I was there for a couple of years. So it's just you eat the same shit every day you're there. So when I was a manager, and I was a manager for a couple of years, you're there five days a week. And, you know, it's more convenient for you to just make something in the kitchen or have somebody ring something in for you than make food at home or stop on the way home and get something to eat. So, you know, just like anything in volume, you just get tired of it, especially the food industry. Cause then you start getting weird and you make like these weird fucking combinations and
I was going to say, did you have like a Monday dish, a Tuesday dish, a Wednesday dish? Like, what were your go-tos?
It's kind of just like whatever you want, you know, are you really hungry? You should probably eat before the dinner rush, you know, at the end of the night. It's just, you know, whatever. It's like you see the sausage being made, and you kind of don't want to see that, so.
You like it, do you?
Yes, you know, when the.
So is it like that currently? Like, you just can't touch. I mean, I know you've talked about it, like, you won't have pizza from other places, but do you eat at work, like, all the time?
No, I don't eat at work, ever.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Ever, because I'm just around it all day. We did find a nice pizza place around the corner from here, though, that we are big fans of, so.
Nice.
Yeah. I can never not eat pizza. I would just, you know, don't tell me we're going to get pizza and then I show up and you order Domino's because I'm going to smack you in the face.
What's wrong with Domino's?
It's fucking gross.
Domino's rules.
Domino's is fucking gross, man. If I'm going to eat a pizza, I want like the place that's been there for like 50 years, nice crust, good consistency, nice pie. I don't want the fucking gross fucking Domino's.
I feel like you have to be in a mood. For Domino's, like, if you know what you're getting when you order it, then, like, it's okay. Like, I'd like me some Domino's.
Yeah, the last time I ate Domino's, I drank, like, a fucking six-pack of Twisted Tea, and then I ended up at the Brown Bear, and Greg was drunk and ordered a bunch of fucking Domino's, and then, like, the fat fuck I am, I ate a whole pizza.
I do miss the one thing I miss from Chili's is the Southwest egg rolls. Those are my jam.
Egg rolls are slamming. I've been back to a Chili's. It's completely different now. But, you know, Chili's and Applebee's once in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've had Applebee's, but yeah, once in a while, not bad.
I'm surprised Applebee's are still a thing because like Houlihan's is pretty much non-existent anymore, right? Are there still Houlihan's?
Yeah, there's a Houlihan's in Parsippany.
Ah.
And there's one out in Sea Caucus, in that same complex that the Chili's I worked at was in, yeah.
And now, there's Applebee's right by your old place.
Fridays is just all over the place, though. Like, I think just volume-wise, Fridays probably... Oh, I mean, Applebee's is probably up there, too, but I think Fridays has just been around forever, and they're just everywhere.
Are they? There's the one on 3, but I don't think... I think the one on 17 is gone. The one that was gone.
Well, the one in West Arm still exists, but that's just an awful
right. And then there's the one at the Willowbrook Mall. But yeah, they're everywhere. They're all the fucking same, though. It's all like a burger and a beer type place. You know, you can go anywhere and get that shit. So, but that was from being the elite, right, Tony? Be elite. Be the elite.
There you go. Now you're singing it right.
I said be the elite.
Whatever you said. You're still right.
Yeah, there's no extra E in it, Tony, that you like to put in.
It's B, elite.
Elite.
B, elite.
Elite.
It's not B, elite. B-E, elite.
B, mommy. B-E, mommy.
Now that's the Pornhub version.
I put a whole bunch of E's in that version. Kevin, why are you not on screen?
I am on screen.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
It should be.
Do you see Kevin?
I do not see Kevin. Because Kevin isn't here.
Well, all right.
I mean, I hear him. I just don't see him. He's like John Cena. So we had a great response from our show last week, especially the speaking out stuff that we talked about. We got a lot of good feedback. Some people were surprised that we talked about it because a lot of people aren't talking about it. And then I think right after the show, some wonderful news was passed down. Impact decided they were getting rid of a bunch of people who were accused. So Joey Ryan is no more. Dave Crist is no more. And then Michael Elgin was suspended. And that later turned into him no longer appearing on Impact TV. So they kind of cleared house at Impact. NXT UK fired Travis Banks and Lagero. I think I'm saying that right. Marty Scurll made a statement. He made two. He looks like a fucking idiot. So we have that going for us. Things have kind of calmed down a little bit, I think.
I think so. Oh, Ron Jeremy's in trouble.
I mean, who isn't in trouble? It's getting crazy. It's too much for me. There's people that this really happens to, and then there's people who are just like dragging people's names through the mud, thinking like it's something funny to do. Now, I know nothing about the Ron Jeremy situation, but I know there's like white actors who voice black characters that are no longer doing it, and people are outraged over this. I get the social injustice. I get all lives matter, Black Lives Matter. I've never been like profiled because I'm a fucking middle-aged white dude. I understand all that, but now I think we're getting like a little. It's getting weird. Like
that's the problem. It always starts out with like it's the noblest of noble causes, and then shit just goes out the window pretty much within 72 hours. I think it's got a 72-hour pressure cooker on it, and then it's over. Dude, there's protests over in Nutley because they were having a Black Lives Matter protest, and a bunch of other people came out and said, "You're not tearing down Christopher Columbus's statue here in Nutley." So it was a whole big fucking thing right across the river from me over the weekend.
I feel like I think they did one in Parsippany too, because I still follow the Parsippany Facebook group, and I saw that the town canceled the fireworks, but people were pissing and moaning because they were going to let people protest about the Christopher Columbus statue, which I really don't give a shit about. I mean, I understand why you want to protest it. Go nuts. But people need to, like, just like with this speaking out thing, like, there's a line, like, and it sucks because it muddies the real people who are being abused, you know, these people who are speaking out, and now fucking some tool in his mother's basement wants to make a fucking fake account and pretend that he was, you know, sexually abused by this person and that person. And sadly, there's technology out there where you can fake conversations and screenshots and shit like that.
Has that been a thing where people have been coming out of the woodwork and like making shit up now, like just blatantly making things up?
So we kind of went over, there was a list that Twitter account put out. And they were like retweeting and liking everything that anyone posted on social media. And then a lot of it turned out to be false accusations.
You see, and that's the danger of it. You want people to genuinely come forward if they've been in that situation. But it's like you said, and it's a big point. Hear them, listen to what they have to say. But don't jump in, because you can cause problems for somebody that didn't have fuck all to do with anything. And that's not fair at all.
No. And it's not fair to the victims. And then you don't know who's telling the truth, who's speaking out for real, and who's just doing it because they want their 5 minutes of fame and they want their attention from wrestler A that they're accusing just to accuse. Like, it's stupid. And then these poor victims who go through torment and all these issues with themselves because they think it's their fault that it happened to them, when it's just these people are just fucking dirtbags, And now people are shitting on them because they spoke out, because you can't tell now the truth versus the fake shit. And it's just, it's a very frustrating situation. But I think we've got it narrowed down, and I think a lot of wrestling promotions have really stepped up. A couple have folded. Bar Wrestling, obviously, was Joey Ryan's. We talked about that last week. Shikara is no longer.
Yeah, did you happen to catch Quackenbush put out like a whole statement about everything that was going on?
Yeah, I briefly read over the statement. I
kind of really didn't understand a lot of it.
There were some accusations against him for, like, I think he made fun of a person with Down syndrome.
Oh, he was the one that did that. Okay.
I think he was accused of doing that. He was accused of saying homophobic things. And then he took responsibility for anything that happened under the roof of his wrestling school because he's supposed to be in charge of that.
Now, was somebody's brother that had come up in conversation was allegedly involved in that as well, right? Rory Gulak, wasn't he involved with Chikara?
Yeah, I think that was a couple months ago where they
yeah, it was where it he was out. Because I didn't see his name come up again.
But it seemed like the wrestler Cobalt was the main character in this. In this accusation, a lot of physical and verbal abuse, especially from women. So Shikara is no more. And then a ton of people disassociated themselves with Shikara, Hollow Wicked, Frightmare, Kimberly, Green Ant.
Well, Quack was involved with the whole situation with Hanaya a few years ago too. Didn't that come up as well?
That did come up, and he did admit to that and having another relationship with another female. He didn't say Hanaya's name, but
yeah, I mean,
for those in the know, they know.
Two together, yeah.
And then he also was doing a lot of stuff at the Performance Center. Not saying it went down there, but you know, this is a huge blow to him because he was widely considered a very big asset to the wrestling community. And Shikara was too, you know. Drew Gulak came from Shikara. Orange Cassidy came from Shikara. Kingston, Kimberly. A lot of people really made their name in Shikara. So it's a big blow. But, you know, you got to cut the cancer out. And that's what it looks
did
like.
A whole lot of this past week. Whole lot of cutting.
Did you do any strutting?
Did I do strutting? No, but you know who got strutted right out of Impact? Your phony world champion, Tessa Blanchard.
All right, first, she's not my world champion.
She was your world champion. She's not world champion anymore. You know who the world champion is? Moose. Told you that woman was nothing but trouble.
Pretty crazy shit.
I didn't want to cut promos because I'm in Mexico. Fuck off. Really? Really? Really?
It's not, I will say this, it's not a good look.
It's not. She's had so many problems. You think she would be grateful and appreciative of the position that she was put in, becoming like the first female like world champion, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, really? Really? This is how you thank everyone? It's not like she's marketable. Wasn't she saying bad things about black people not too long ago?
And right before that pay-per-view, a lot of people came out. Because she was very mean and racist in Japan towards
what was her name? God, I can't remember.
Negro? Rosa Negra? Is that a person? Did I make that up?
No, you didn't. That was her.
La Rosa Negra, right?
I think it was.
Yeah.
She definitely Rosa something.
Yeah, and that's when like Allison Kay and a bunch of other women stepped up and said, I was there and you were... what's your excuse? You're in Mexico, you're quarantined. You work out and take fucking Instagram photos? Like, take an hour and just make some fucking promo videos. You're the fucking champion.
Yeah, I don't think there had to have been something else going on where she just wasn't interested to go back to Impact because her contract was up, I think, next week or within the next 2 weeks or something like that. She was due for her contract to expire before the next pay-per-view.
Yes, so, like a couple, like a week or so beforehand, and she didn't want to drop the title.
Well, there you go.
I've already read that there's already interest back from WWE to bring her back or bring her in.
I think that's, I mean, I don't know. It's this well, is not a good look.
Well, right? In fairness, Big Swole actually came out and said that she'd be a huge asset to come into AEW. So she's at least got somebody there supporting her.
Yeah, but if you recall, Tony Khan has gone on record and said he will never allow Hulk Hogan to be a part of AEW before the racist things he said.
Okay, fair enough. But number one, would Hogan ever go to AEW? Let's be honest. And number two...
Well, I mean, Bret Hart was there. A payday's a payday, bro.
Yeah, but...
I'm not... Look. I will... We are all in this together. You can never say never, though.
I understand, but... Tony Khan really puts it all out there. I mean, he's known for just being completely honest and, you know, transparent in his in his dealings. So, I mean, if that's the case, there's no shot that Tess is going to AEW. Am I wrong? I mean,
no,
or does Tony Khan bite the bullet and become a hypocrite?
No, he will definitely not bite the bullet.
I mean, people have been teasing it on social media. Like, Brian Cage put out a picture of, like them and, like, LAX and Tessa all holding, like, the belts or something like that. And then, but... I see her in WWE way more than I see her in AEW, 100%.
I mean, if WWE wants, she just seems like a problem.
Yep.
She's only 24.
Yep.
Yeah, but this is not, like, this looks terrible. Like, this company decided you were going to become the first ever female world champion, and you couldn't find time in Mexico to just send them promos.
Yeah.
Like, she's been off TV since March. Now, I'm sure there's a lot more to the story, but to Kevin's point, it doesn't look good.
Nope. Definitely not.
No.
You know, I mean,
and we try to say, like, with stuff like this, like, at what age is, like, too, like, is old enough to know better? Like, 24 to me is, like, old enough to know better. Like, maybe not all the time for every person, but you're 24 years old. You should probably, you've been in the real world for a little bit. You're still very young. I know, I agree, Tony. I agree. But you've been around, especially if you've grown up in the business. You see how stuff works. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe the business was how she was raised, and that's a problem within the business.
Well, in fairness, before Tully Blanchard became, like, beloved as one of the Four Horsemen, he was known to have problems, and his father Joe, from my learnings of history, he was a big pain in the ass too. So maybe the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Even Tully, like, in his later years, like, you've heard countless interviews with, like, you know, like a Bruce Pritchard or Dusty Rhodes, like, he couldn't keep his mouth shut to save his own life. Like, he would just say shit in front of, like, Jim Crockett and all these other people, and they'd be like, well, what the fuck do you want? Do you not want to be here? Like, what's going on? And, of course, it wound up a lot of the shit going on, which is the reason why he got shit-canned from WWF, and they didn't want him back in the NWA. Well, so Arn Anderson came back on his own.
Yeah, well, he failed a drug test, too, before that Survivor Series.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like Tessa Blanchard using racial slurs is, like, the icing on the cake of a piss-poor attitude and not getting along with people to begin with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Elgin falls apparently under the same, you know, he was suspended. And then apparently there was, like, a big blow up backstage between him and Sammy Callahan over a three-way match with Ken Shamrock, which kind of was like, you know what? The writing was on the tea leaves. This is what I read when I look in this. It was like, you know what? He's got these allegations of sending unsolicited pictures to people, females, and now this. Like, maybe we just cut bait. So Impact went from having their Slammiversary pay-per-view is still happening in 3 weeks, but we've lost a large chunk of the main event.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see. I think they're supposed to make an announcement tomorrow night on Impact, but they got rid of Tessa. As Tony mentioned, her contract was coming up. Reports are that she didn't want to do the job, and they couldn't come up with the same ground to figure out how to get the title off of her. So they just, You know, you don't need her fucking showing up. I mean, it's not the Monday Night Wars, but you don't need her showing up somewhere with a women's title because that's just fucking embarrassing, right?
Does she have it?
Yeah.
I know she's the champion.
The world title. Yeah, I would assume she has it.
Interesting.
Right?
If she shows up in AEW, I don't think they're going to let her do it. She's not going to go there anyway. So the only other option is WWE. And if she shows up with the Impact World Championship, do you think Vince McMahon or Triple H or anybody else gives a shit?
No, they would. They would probably tell her not to.
Yeah, probably, exactly.
Yeah, like leave the belt home. That means nothing to us.
It's not like Bret Hart potentially going to WCW, and there's like significant ramifications there.
Right. And I like Impact, so that's no slight on Impact. It's just the lay of the land in wrestling right now. It just doesn't make sense.
I feel like, you know what, they might not be against her showing up on NXT on a Wednesday night to go head-to-head with AEW.
That's a different question altogether.
I don't know how I feel about her going to the WWE just because I just don't wear... Yes, she's a super talented woman, but where does she fit in? Does she just get lost in the shuffle? Does she become like another... women wrestler?
I think she's good enough to become the face of whatever brand you put her on.
Well, this would be the time to strike. I mean, Becky Lynch is out.
Charlotte's out.
Rumor is she's getting some enhancements.
I think she's getting the dehancement.
Oh, she's shrunken down?
I can't confirm that.
All I read was elective surgery. So put whatever you want.
Maybe she's getting a juicier Bonita Applebaum. I don't know.
Oh, you think Andrade's into that?
Probably, yeah. He's Hispanic, right?
Maybe she's getting calf implants.
You never know.
They're going to put cows inside her?
It's a crazy world we live. boo.
Ooh, fucking boo. Oh,
yeah, I mean, I guess now is the time to strike. No Becky, no Charlotte.
They don't fucking like Shayna Baszler because that whole fucking experiment's done. Rhea Ripley came in and shit the bed and she left, so...
No, Rhea's in an exciting feud on NXT.
Yeah, what's that do for the main roster? Nothing.
I was being sarcastic. Where is Shayna Baszler? Why is she not on TV?
She's getting her teeth fixed. She's got them fucking gum things that she wears all the time.
The mouth guard?
Yeah, it looks like she's got no teeth.
Yeah, but why is she not on TV?
Because she's getting her teeth fixed.
You're just making shit up now.
Of course I am, you fucking idiot.
That's not nice.
Hi, I'm Shayna Baszler.
She does not sound like that. Come on. Now.
I know she doesn't. She doesn't talk. That's why I come up with whatever sounds I want. Has she ever cut a promo?
Tony.
Has she cut a promo?
Yes. I just had the greatest thought ever.
Okay.
Becky's gone. She's having a baby. Charlotte's out. Guess what we'll never have to deal with, hopefully? The four horsewoman feud.
Fuck yeah! Fuck yeah!
Oh, you know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do? Tessa Blanchard's going to lead that four horsewoman faction with the MMA chicks. She'll be the leader going against Charlotte, Becky, or... No, she'll be the fourth with Charlotte, Becky, Bailey, and Sasha.
Yeah, but Ronda's not coming back because she hates the fans because they're fucking dickheads, so...
Oh, she'll be back, baby.
You think
back,
so?
Baby, back. Yeah! Don't forget Bob Vila's calling in at about 7:45 tonight.
Bobby Vala.
Figures.
CEO, head, point person of Valaverse, who has exclusive rights to Sergeant Slaughter figures. So it's pretty interesting.
That's in order.
That's right. You guys can see me now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, who said that? What?
So Tessa's out. And they're going to do a number one contenders gauntlet match at Slammiversary for the women. Check out this lineup, Tony.
Wait, for the women?
This is a number one contenders. Just for the number one contendership.
They're not even putting the title on the line at the pay-per-view?
Jordynne Grace is defending against Deonna Purrazzo.
Oh, wonderful.
That doesn't pique your interest.
What's all this hate coming from, Tony?
Dude, Deonna Purrazzo, come on now.
All right, this is your
legend and drag.
This is your it. That's mean. Don't be mean. Come on.
Sorry.
This is your
Deonna Purrazzo looks like Larry Legend. Are you fucking kidding me? You didn't realize that was a joke?
Oh, I didn't hear what you said. Cut out. So.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue. No, tell me about this fucking wonderful Slammiversary card that's coming up in 2 weeks where nobody's going to be there except for EC3.
Oh, we're picking this one too, buddy.
Oh,
that's right.
Today? We're not picking this
today. Not today. It's a pay-per-view. It's July 18th, buddy. That's a big weekend. We're going to do Slammiversary and Extreme Rules the Horror Show.
Great.
Yeah, we'll get into that too. All right. Ready? Ready for all the women in this match? Gauntlet match. Rosemary. Nevia.
Who?
Susie.
Wait, slow down. So who's Nevia?
She's one of the Ohio is for everybody people.
Ohio is for okay. And the one guy got fired, right?
Yes. Dave. Oh. Dave is gone. Susie, who is Sue Young.
Okay.
Kira Hogan.
What has she done? She hasn't done fuck all, right?
Her and Tasha Steeles are fucking with Susie. And Kylie Rae. Taya Valkyrie. Tasha Steeles.
Wait. Oh, for real? All right, go ahead. Keep going.
Alicia Edwards.
Wait, Alicia? Eddie Edwards' wife? Is she the wrestler?
Yes, she lost to Deonna Purrazzo on last Tuesday.
Wonderful. So is that why Deonna Purrazzo's getting a title match? Because he beat Eddie Edwards' crazy batshit fucking Looney Tunes wife? Does he still talk to the bat? Does he still talk to the bat? Is that a thing yet?
Kylie Rae.
Oh, what's the bat's name?
He talks to the bat.
Kimberly. And Jessica Havoc.
Wait, and Jessica Havoc gets to go last?
No, this is not the order. It's a gauntlet match. I don't know what the order is. Maybe they're going to draw straws.
Wonderful.
And then Willie Mack will defend his X Division title against Chris Bay.
He's my bae.
And then we went from the five-way match. Right now, there's only three participants left in it, so I don't know what happens. Maybe
this is what happens. Moose steps up and defends the fucking TNA championship, and that's what's going to happen. He's going to be crowned the new Impact/TNA champion.
See, they've been teasing EC3 coming back, going after Moose.
Oh, good. Fuck him, too.
They played his music on Impact after Moose beat somebody. Beat Hernandez 2 weeks ago.
Hernandez is still around?
Yeah.
All right.
Get up on your Impact, son. So right now, the only people left in this championship match are Eddie Edwards, Ace Austin, and Trey Miguel. But we'll see what happens this week. Be sure to tune into Impact tomorrow night, Tuesday.
I think if they don't announce it beforehand, I think we'll have a pretty nice little surprising Slammiversary.
There's no tag title match. The North isn't. They're still trapped in Canada.
It hasn't happened yet. I'm sure we'll get there.
Oh, okay. But are they at? They're like moving around now, right? Like they're not still stuck in Canada.
No, they're back on. They're back there.
Okay.
On the Impact, they defended against the Rascals a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the Impact in a nutshell.
Cool.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, awesome.
Let's talk NWA this week.
You want to talk NWA this week?
Yeah, because nothing fucking happened.
I mean,
listen, nothing happened TV-wise because of Dave Lagana, but that's not the reason why nothing happened. Here's the big thing. Our buddy, best guest ever, Mr. Zicky Dice, apparently asked for his release, and he was granted his release. So there's no longer a television
release. Be the release. Release. Be the release.
There you go. See, Kevin knows how to sing.
That's right.
And the other thing is, Nick Aldis put out a statement, and I fucking should have had my Twitter open in the fucking. But it's
just in a bag of chips.
Real Nick Aldis. Here we go. Ba 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 ba. Hold on. I'm finding it. It's right here. I'm not going to lie. It's been a difficult week. I still love this business, and I love the NWA. Our fans are second to none. You've always trusted the brand and what we represent, and that trust is going to be rewarded. Thank you all. And then he also posted, we can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them. That's a quote from Albert Einstein. So Nick Aldis is very hopeful, and he's telling people don't give up on the NWA just yet. So look, I'm in on the fucking NWA. I've been there since the whole comeback thing. I'm a huge fan. I love what they do. I'm sticking with it. But it's not looking good for them where now they really have nothing going on production-wise either.
Yeah, I think your boy WPC said they won't do anything new until 2021 and that all the wrestlers are free to work elsewhere until then, no?
Yeah, in terms of actually wrestling, but we were getting some good stuff with, like, Nick Aldis was doing a video cast. Eli Drake was doing one. The ladies were doing one.
Right.
They were doing the Carnyland thing. But now without Dave Lagana, all that shit's off the table. So now you don't even have these guys, you know, coming out and being available, which is why you need to get on Twitch and you need to follow Zicky Dice. That motherfucker's doing tons of stuff on Twitch, and it's hilarious. Hilarious stuff. He was playing Oregon Trail a couple nights ago. I was fucking laughing my ass off watching him.
Wait. Like the original Oregon Trail?
Oh, well, it was like an updated version, but yes, exactly like the old version.
Like you died from typhoid Oregon Trail?
Dysentery, but yes.
You died. There was like six different diseases.
It was funny as shit, dude. Like whoever, one of his boys was playing and he was watching, like doing commentary, and the guy had a fucking hunt to get food for the caravan, and he kept and everything. So they would starve and then more people would die, and then they would have to like go across a river and the fucking thing would flood out and all their supplies would get washed away. I was fucking, he's like, what are you doing? You're fucking this all up. I was laughing my ass off. It was good.
God. This generation will never know the perils of playing Oregon Trail on a floppy disk in the library of your elementary school.
Oregon Trail was good shit, man. It's good times. But that Zicky Dice on Twitch is very good times.
So
top five good times?
Number one good times, Kev. All
right.
I'm just gonna throw an idea out there, okay? All right. Impact is clearly hurting.
Oh no.
Nick Aldis. He's clearly not doing anything.
Outlandish.
And he has the NWA title, and you know, I'm sure he could find a couple of guys to maybe do a little invasion angle. Now, obviously, it wouldn't be on the grand scale of, say, like an AEW invasion or a WWE invasion, but these guys are looking for work, and Impact is clearly in a position where they need help. Is it such an absurd thought to think that maybe this would be something that they do?
I think it's the exact opposite of an absurd thought. I think it's the logical thought.
I
think it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, but I don't think there's a lot of love between Nick Aldis and the people that are behind Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the same people now.
Well,
it's a completely different company, no?
I know that there's a fellow that does commentary every week that Eli Drake has no fucking love for. So,
is that Josh Matthews?
That's Eli Drake.
Eli, no, fucking what's his name? Cyrus the Virus.
He doesn't do commentary anymore.
No.
No.
Was he behind the scenes?
Yes.
Oh well, fucking Eli Drake will kill him.
Okay. Yeah, we're not talking about Eli Drake here. We're talking about Nick Aldis, and I'm assuming Matt meant
Strictly Business.
Yeah.
Just those three? I mean,
I'm sure you could grab, you know, get a couple more guys. But, like, Eli, I would love to see Eli Drake fucking challenge Cody for the TNT Championship if Cody retains against Jake Hager. Like, that's a great open challenge.
Yeah.
I think Impact is in, like, the weird position of, for some reason, and this is just in my own head, my own thoughts, they're in the position to do the most with the people that are out there right now. And they won't hardly get the slack that like an AEW would get or WWE would get. I think if Impact brought in like a Nick Aldis and Strictly Business, or even if they brought in like Eric Young or EC3 or these guys, that could only be a plus for Impact Plus. But for everywhere else, I feel like people would get like ripped for it. I think Impact is in the best position out of all these places right now to make the most of the current situation.
Yeah, the reports are they've been going hard after the Good Brothers too.
Oh yeah, because they think that they can get them to do both Japan and the States or something like that.
Oh well, I mean the ball is clearly in their court, and they're definitely going back to Japan whenever that is. But if they could work out a deal, I think where they could do Impact. I mean, it's a no brainer. There's a lot of good talent out there that if you know, look. I would not hate if at the Slammiversary, they fucking Rusev showed up and he was in the fucking five-way dance for the title. I would not hate that.
I think all of it could happen. I think all of it's on the table for happening. Let me say that.
Well, anything can happen.
But I feel like now, like, Impact is like that. is like the perfect, and I have no idea how they do business, but I just feel like that's the kind of place we'll be like, hey, you want to come in for a couple days? Come on in. And then if you want to go, go. Like, I feel like they're that place right now where AEW is clearly not that place. WWE is clearly not that place. But Impact and who knows what Ring of Honor is going to be doing. And I think they're starting something again soon. I could be wrong about that. But like Impact seems to be the place where just like, come on in, do some things, and we'll make the most of it while you're here.
I tell you, the way things are going, it doesn't look like anyone's starting up anywhere because people are fucking morons. They don't know how to put on a fucking mask.
That's true.
Who ran some shows this past weekend?
ICW New York ran in Atlantic City, maybe? And, you know, they did no social distancing and it was all death matches. So, you know, that's a fucking brilliant idea to have.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Every match be a fucking bloodbath because, you know, that's what you should do during a fucking pandemic. Fucking morons. Absolute morons. And then you look at the flip side, and GCW did a show outside in, like, Indiana. And you know, not everyone was wearing masks, but there was social distancing, and they did it right. It's not fucking hard. There was a video posted over the weekend of people at a bar in Seabright.
Yeah.
And that caused the governor to tell everybody today, guess what? Dining in restaurants is not happening now because of that.
No. Let me take you a couple
of
steps back.
That's one of the reasons.
Well, this bucktooth cocksucker that's in charge of our state, and I'll call him that with all the love and respect in the world. And I'm not making this political, but this asshole told all the kids in this state, you can't have your graduations. You got to do a drive-by where your fucking principal gives you an air high five and throws your fucking diploma in your car as you fucking blow by at 5 miles an hour. And we'll get 300 kids to fucking do this in every town and every fucking county in this state. And he turns around, he goes out there, and he's protesting arm in arm with people walking down the street. But we're supposed to all be 6 feet apart. And this bastard over the weekend went to a bar that had seating outside for dinner, and this fucker sat inside and broke his own fucking rules again. That pisses me off. That fucking pisses me off. You fucking want people to do X, Y, and Z? Lead by example. So now, because of this douchebag, I can't fucking go to Applebee's tomorrow and have a fucking meal sitting at a table with my family. I got to sit in some fucking makeshift park bench with a fucking, like a regular fucking golf umbrella duct taped to the middle of it because I can't go inside and fucking sit down there in fucking air conditioning because it's 9,000 degrees out in New Jersey now. Thanks, Governor, and thanks all you cocksuckers in Seabright. Hope you all fucking get COVID and jerk each other off in the hospital.
Or you could just not be a lazy shit and make your own food.
He's the governor, dude. He's probably got 17 chefs.
You fucking asshole.
I make my food all the time. I'm getting all fucking.
You got it.
Yes, I'm dying. I can't.
He just gave it to you through your mic.
Just pisses off, dude. Give me some consistency. If we can't go to restaurants, fine. But don't fucking wiggle this big fucking hairy dick in front of me and tell me it's treat time and then go, you want a dick? You want a dick? Psych. Don't fucking do that to me, dude.
Who are you? Have you had many dicks taken away from you? I don't understand your analogy.
Wiggly Harry's?
Disappointingly many. Fuck all y'all.
Wow. What are you drinking there, buddy? What's that, a dad's root beer? Are we bringing that back?
NYF, baby.
A what?
NYF, not your father's. See? NYF.
Right, oh, they got a new...
They changed the label.
Yeah, they got a new label there.
And fancy, right?
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Less is more, they say.
Harry Danglers, just for me.
And there's the name of the episode.
All right.
Harry Danglers? I like it.
I got to write
Harry
that down.
Harry Danglers with Bob Vila. Bob Vila, there we go.
No, not Bob Vila. So let's talk about this COVID-19 thing really fast here. Vince McMahon doesn't give a shit about anything.
Go ahead.
And it has affected whatever pro wrestling we have on TV now. Both, all brands, WWE, NXT, and AEW. The reports came out early Wednesday afternoon that QT Marshall and the Natural Nightmares would not be having their match. And they inserted SCU against FTR, which is, I think, 100 times better. I'm not going to lie. But then Tony Khan put out, like, he came in contact with somebody who came in contact with somebody who had it. So just to be safe, they left him home. And then a couple hours later, they pulled Moxley off because he was also in contact with somebody who had it. And then later on, you found out that it was Renee Young. And apparently, according to Mr. Dave Meltzer, the WWE was very mad that she tweeted out that she had COVID-19. And then it just kind of steamrolled. Adam Pearce has it. Kayla Braxton, is that a person?
Yeah, twice.
And Jamie Noble. And those were the big names that I saw.
Wait. So Adam Pearce has it.
Yes.
Didn't Adam Pearce do some fucking Jeff Hardy drunk driving, like, let's have a meeting thing a couple of weeks ago on TV in front of like 20 of the boys?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Good job, Vince. You're going to the grave. Take everybody with you. Fucking bravo and kudos, sir.
Yeah, but there's no way of knowing when he got it. It was just a stupid move.
Your daughter and your doofus son-in-law have a good time cleaning up your mess when you're in the grave, you fucking dickhead.
Well,
it was the 9th anniversary of the pipe bomb this past weekend, too. That's why I referenced the doofus and the idiot.
All right.
Nothing. Nobody fucking watched it again. The fuck, one of the greatest promos of our time.
It's been reported that the WWE is not testing as regularly as they should have been,
testing all according to the reports.
Yeah, they were just doing like the temperature scan. That was it.
Yeah, let's see what your temperature is, sir. Beep. Oh, you took him. I took a Motrin before I came out here, but I bet you can't tell. Shh. Fucking idiots.
It's pretty remarkable.
Does it surprise you?
Yeah, kind of.
Honestly, does it?
Like, okay, if you're going to go, we're going to do this. We're going to move forward. We need to give the fans something. Whatever bullshit narrative the WWE is going to give us in 10 years on the network, or when they make a special DVD or whatever bullshit they're going to do, where they're like, in the face of a pandemic, the WWE presented WrestleMania and Extreme Rules, the Swamp Stories, and whatever other fucking bullshit they're going to try and spin it in like 5 to 10 years. You would think, right? If you're asking your employees to do this and they're like, you know what? Yes, we need to do this for the fans. That you would fucking test them and make sure that they weren't fucking, like, every fucking day.
I got to interrupt you. We got a call coming in, Kev. You ready?
Really?
Yes.
All right, cool.
There he is.
What's going on, guys?
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on a Shining Wizards Skype line, I'll call it now, is a good friend of mine, longtime pal. He is, I don't even know what to call you. Are you the CEO? Are you the president? Are you the point man of the Valiverse, which has now signed an exclusive deal with Sergeant Slaughter, head of Action Force, if you will. First action figure for Sergeant Slaughter, not under WWE, and God, who knows when. Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Vala joins us. Bobby, how are you, bud?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. Oh, sorry, Kevin. Yeah, I didn't mean to step on you. This is very exciting stuff, the Sergeant Slaughter figure.
Yeah, it's, man, I can't even, like, put into words how, like, wild it's been. Like, it's still surreal to me that I, like, look and I'm like, wait, like, I'm working with Sergeant Slaughter. Like, Sergeant Slaughter's a figure in my line. Like, I can't believe it. Like, every time I see the video that he recorded for me, like, I get chills. And I'm like, wow, this isn't real, is it? Like, this is crazy.
So where did this, how long in the back of your head did you realize that Sergeant Slaughter was the guy that you needed, not necessarily needed, but wanted to have involved in this project?
It was something I kind of like threw around, like talking to like my buddy and stuff when, you know, because when I developed Action Force, it was basically, to give you a short story, it was because when I was at Hasbro, I worked on a G.I. Joe line that got canceled, and I felt like it was something that the fans really wanted. So when I left Hasbro, they weren't doing anything with G.I. Joe yet. And I said, there's a piece missing in the 6-inch collector community for like 6-inch military figures for G.I. Joe type thing. So Action Force is what G.I. Joe was called in the UK. So right. I purchased the trademark because the trademark was available, kind of, you know, because it had this real estate to it, the name. And I developed this line that was, I guess you could call it a G.I. Joe ripoff, but it's a new, unique IP with characters and a story. And, you know, because it caters a lot to the G.I. Joe fans and then also, you know, 6-inch collectors, Star Wars Black Series, Marvel Legends. But a lot of it is Joe fans. And, you know, when I thought about it, I was like, well, you know, Starz isn't really doing – he's never done anything with G.I. Joe since like 2010 or 2015. He did a Creo set. And then WWE didn't do a figure of him since like 2017. So I said, wow, it'd be really cool to get Sarge. And I just like thought about it one day, like, oh, that'd be fun. And then a buddy of mine got me in touch with Sarge's agent. And before you know it, I made a pitch and here we are. And it went really smoothly and he was really into it. And he's been great so far. He loves what we're doing and the reception to it has been mind blowing. So, you know, that's great for everyone involved.
So obviously the reaction you're getting has been all positive from the Action Force G.I. Joe's side. Have you seen any sort of reaction from the professional wrestling universe, for lack of a better term?
Well, yeah, and I didn't expect it to kind of like get to the wrestling side of things so quickly, but that night that it launched, I launched it at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I think at like 7 o'clock at night, Zack Ryder threw it up on his Instagram and I was like, holy crap, like this is amazing, you know? And then Zach like messaged me later that night about it. You know, so I kind of gave him, cause he didn't know like what it was. All of a sudden the Sarge figure hits. So wrestling fans are kind of like, what is this? What's going on? What's Action Force? You know? Whereas like the other crowd, sort of knew, the G.I. Joe, you know, Legends crowd, they knew what was going on. But yeah, the wrestling fans were like, what is this? So it's cool to kind of see it now venturing to that wrestling side of things, because Sarge is just as big in wrestling as he is in the world of G.I. Joe.
Yeah, and he was one of, if not the first to, I want to say he had his own figure. I had it as a kid. The Mail-Away, Sergeant Slaughter, mm-hmm. G.I. Joe. That was all my mother's work. But it was a big deal because at the time I know he had Kevin, he had an LJN.
Yeah,
it was very rare, right?
Yeah, it was like a LJN, like made to fit in the mold of the LJNs. I don't think LJN actually made it though.
No, it was a Hasbro Mail-Away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was like a big deal for him to have his first figure and break away from the WWF machine at the time. It's funny, it comes full circle now with this because the figure looks beautiful.
Thank you.
And to your point, 2015 was the last time there was a Sergeant Slaughter.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
But yeah, why Sergeant Slaughter? Is it because of the G.I. Joe tie-in?
Yeah, I just felt that he's a very iconic character. And I felt like there was really no wrong reason for Sarge, you know, bringing him into the line, I felt kind of gave him, you know, sort of a new, fresh outlook because he hasn't been doing anything with WWE lately and Hasbro wasn't using him at all for G.I. Joe. So I just felt like it was almost a disservice to Sarge. He's this huge iconic character and he's got this presence about him. Like he should be in toy form all the time. So that was like, I just felt like bringing him in the line would be great. So, you know, cause up until this time, he really only had the outlooks that he had. He was a G.I. Joe, and he was a wrestling superstar. But now he's an Action Force character, and he is Sergeant Slaughter, but he has this whole different backstory, and it's almost like another version of Sergeant Slaughter, which is really cool. So that's, you know, that was a big reason why I thought like having him in the line would be great, because it would give a spark to Action Force, it would give a spark to Sarge, and it would really like get people involved in the line. And you know, could see what I'm doing.
So tell everyone that's listening to us right now live on rantdmradio.com and that will be downloading us on shiningwizards.com how they can actually, because it's a whole thing on CrowdDocs, which is kind of like a Kickstarter, but it's much easier as far as I can tell. Tell people how they can get involved in not only purchasing the Sergeant Slaughter figure, which would probably be more ideal to our fan base, but the entire mm-hmm. Action Force line.
Yeah, of course. If you follow Valiverse on Instagram or Facebook or Valiverse.com, you can get links to the Crowdox site, which is basically my pre-order site, because Action Force was a successful Kickstarter. And then Crowdox was basically the fulfillment end of it. If any of you are familiar with Kickstarters, usually people use Backkit. I use Crowdox. So that's where you basically place your pre-orders, which are still live now. Sarge is there along with all the other items for Series 1 of Action Force. So if you go to any of my Facebook posts, the link's always in every post. Same thing with Instagram. You go to the bio, the link is there. If you go to Valiverse.com, the front page has a link to the Crowdox site. And also for those of you, if you don't want to do the Crowdox thing, if you don't, you're not familiar with it, Big Bad Toy is a great partner, and they are carrying every Action Force item, including Sergeant Slaughter. So you can go there and you can purchase all the items there as well. So it's – yeah, Series 1's great. I got – 6 core figures, bunch of basic troopers, bunch of accessory packs with weapons and backpacks and all sorts of gear. So it's a pretty round out line for the first series. And then having Sarge as like the 6th core guy is a nice way to close out Series 1. But yeah, it's all available on Crowdox or Big Bad Toy.
Let me ask you this. Did Sergeant Slaughter himself have to approve anything to
– He did.
For this, like from the design, from the concept, from the layout, that what exactly was his involvement in making this happen?
Yeah, in our when I had the contract written up for our partnership, being at Hasbro for years and knowing the approval process for things like a Marvel Legends figure, I knew what steps are the steps you want to get approved by the licensor, and I put those in the contract, so he approved the concept. I sent him the initial concept of how I was going to build out the figure and what he was going to look like, and then we got to the sculpting stage, and he approved the sculpting stage, and now we're at the painted Paintmaster model, which is going to be sent to him for approval, and then he'll approve the packaging because I'm going to have character art on the side of the packaging. There's also, a file card on the back of the package that he'll have to approve, and then he'll appear in one of the Action Force comic issues, so he'll have to approve that story and that artwork as well. So it's great because I get to have him like in the process the whole way. Like on Wednesday, we're having a conference call just to, because he wants to know a little bit more about the backstory, because he's very much into this character. It's not just kind of like a fling for him. It's just like he really loves that he's a character in this universe, and he wants to like immerse himself, and he wants to know who the good guys are, who the bad guys are, what the whole backstory is. So I'm gonna fill him in, on Wednesday, and that should be fun.
And we are on the line now, live with my longtime pal. Probably 20 plus years now. We're getting this old.
I think the last time I saw you was 2012.
Well, yeah, because you went and moved away somewhere.
Yeah, I came home to visit one day, and I think we went to the Rock, and makes sense.
There's a very funny picture of us, me as Hulk Hogan and Bobby in it as well. You of course you can follow him at the Valiverse on Instagram, Valiverse on Facebook, the Crowd Docs. I put the link. I'll put that everywhere as soon as we're done with this episode. So, are you expecting anything like any like Sergeant Slaughterisms like to come from this, like in like a daily conversation, or is this just like, is he totally business and like nothing like, oh, maggot or hey, that's an order?
Well, I mean, I haven't talked to him yet. I all the correspondence I had was with his representative, and then when I said like, hey, this is the plan I was going to have for how I was going to launch it, hey, would he be open to doing a video? I'll send him an Action Force t-shirt. Here's a script. Here's what he can say, and he's like, yeah, Sarge will do that. And so I sent him, the shirt, and I sent him a nice bottle of his favorite, and I also wrote him like a nice letter, like, hey, if I could go back and tell like my 8-year-old self that this would be happening, it would be amazing. But and then like a few weeks later, I got the videos, and I was just like, wow. And he was like so in character doing it. It was great, because I didn't know what to expect from him. And he kind of said like, hey, listen, the script's great, but I'm going to do it the way Sarge would say it, because Sarge wouldn't say some of this stuff. So he basically was just like, I'm going to do it this way. And he got into his character and he said the things he wanted to say. And I thought it was fantastic. But yeah, if we can get some Sarge-isms coming, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure if you talk to him long enough, he'll pick up on them. and then just start using them in your daily life. Was there any, did you have to get involved with the WWE for any of this licensing for him?
In a way, because Sarge does own his likeness and his name, but he has obviously a great relationship with the WWE, and I kind of was out of that. His rep said, you know, he just said, hey, listen, we're going to talk to WWE, let them know what we want to do, just as like a professional courtesy because of the strong relationship they have. So in that sense, they talked with WWE and got, you know, sort of a courtesy permission to do this, to be involved in this. So, but I didn't have any involvement with the WWE at all, but on their end, they did.
Did Kevin ever try and snake any wrestling figures from you in your 20-year relationship?
I didn't really – back then, I wasn't really collecting wrestling figures. Our other friend, Mikhail, he was the wrestling guy. I was more the Star Wars guy at the time. So me and Mikhail were like the toy hunters. We were almost like Matt and Brian. Like we did the toy hunting like every weekend. We would go out and hit all these stores, and he would get wrestling and I would get Star Wars. And then I started to like venture into wrestling a little bit at points. But no, there was never any wrestling figure snaking.
Bobby, I'll tag on to that. Like you guys, if you guys had like did what you did then, now in the age of like social media and YouTube and all this stuff, like Bob, like Mikhail's room was like there was no wallpaper; it was just figures.
Yeah.
On like the wall, he used to have this big party, and I hope I'm not blowing his spot up too much, but like every year there was Mikhailapalooza.
Mikhailapalooza, yep. Yep.
And it was just like, and every year you'd go in and be like, yo, let me check out the bedroom. He's like, why, you got a girl? No, I want to go see your wrestling figures. It was so ridiculous. And you were there every week figure hunting. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. And it like, I don't think you'd ever been to my house, but my house was like the opposite, but for Star Wars, like my walls were just lined with every Star Wars figure. But yeah, we would, you know, he'd pick me up and we would do like the loop. We'd hit like Toys R Us, KB, Kmart. Like it was awesome. Just going figure hunting, but we were like the first broskies, you know, we were the first paradise. We were doing that before. Yeah. It was a big thing.
It's true.
What are those your Star Wars figures behind you?
No, this is my Joe room. I have every G.I. Joe from 82 to 94 and then 07 to now. So like every wall is lined with every G.I. Joe. But then when I was at Hasbro, this was my Joe room. Like this was just my kind of like my man cave, my collecting room. And then when I left Hasbro and started Valiverse and Action Force, I was like, well, I need an office. So I kind of threw a desk in the middle of the room and then it became like my office. And now things are just kind of thrown away. Like I have the USS flag behind me, but it's covered in like a big tablecloth because I set up all the Action Force figures for that YouTube video I did for the Sarge thing. So that table that I'm in front of with all the figures on it, that's the flag. It'll just cover it. So yeah. So now I just have to hope that Action Force becomes big enough to the point where I can have a legit office somewhere in a building and then make my Joe room again.
So now is this strictly your objectives for Valiverse in general? Is it strictly Action Force? Is it strictly G.I. Joe? Do you plan on getting licenses from other things that you think could still exist in today's world that might not?
Yeah, I definitely have my eye on some expired trademarks, some dead licenses, that sort of thing. Because Action Force is going to be the start of it. Like Action Force is going to get it all off the ground. But I definitely want to expand into other lines. I don't know what those lines are right now, because I'm so focused on, you know, series one of Action Force, but I'm always kind of thinking of like little things. I'll see a line, I'll be like, oh, we should reinvent that or something like that. But I definitely have plans to expand outside of Action Force.
And I've known you for a long time, and you've always been a tremendous artist. How did developing, how did it come from just being a great artist on paper to designing figures and sculpting figures and all that it entails?
I mean, it's funny because I kind of got into toy design by accident, because when we were at the law firm, Chris's brother worked at Hasbro, and you know, and I was trying to break into comics at the time, and then Chris was like, dude, why don't you contact my brother and try to do like some toy work? And you know, obviously I was a big collector. I'm like, yeah, sure, okay. And he got me in on the first Transformers movie doing some freelance work on design concepts. And then, like, I got invited to the Hasbro office and I saw the place. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, I want to work here. So I went back to school for toy design, got my degree in toy design. So pair that up with my illustration background, and I was able to be a more well-rounded designer. So I was able to, you know, flush out a lot of the concepts that I had because I was able to draw. So doing the Action Force stuff was great because I could design everything myself. So everything you see is right from my head and right from my hand. So I draw it all, and then I send it to the sculptors, and they bring it to life.
What's the Hasbro office like? Is there any remnants or relics of wrestling of yesteryear?
So there isn't. But so there's the Hasbro building where everyone works, but then there's this place called the Archives, and it's a couple miles away in this old, like, dilapidated warehouse. And they have the fourth floor of that warehouse is called the Archives, where they have one of everything dating back to everything they've done. But it's all, like, in really bad condition because it's not temperature control. The sun comes in and fades stuff, and it's all just kind of thrown around. And you have to get, like, a vice president to go with you and let you up there. So a friend of mine who is no longer there anymore, he took me to the Archives one day because I want to see the Joe stuff. And there's literally every Joe. So it's cool. But then I rounded the corner and I saw a wall of just green cards and blue cards and orange cards. I was like, this is amazing, you know? I think I snapped a couple pictures of the WWF wall. But it was cool seeing all that stuff.
You said orange cards. Orange cards weren't even a thing. They were supposed to be a thing.
Not orange card. What was it? Red cards? What
red,
did they do?
Yeah, red, yeah.
Yeah, red cards. Yeah.
That is wild, man.
So, yeah, it was cool.
With
and then going to Ron's house, like I'm buddies with Ron Rudat, like going to his house, like he's got a big display with all the loose figures in it. And I could tell there was some missing spots with some of like the rare ones or like the variants or something like that. He didn't have a Moonbelly Kamala though.
Not many people do. Have you seen a spike in your followers and interest in your line since that Mark Zack Ryder shared it on Instagram?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It literally exploded. I think I started Instagram that day with like 2,000 followers, and now I'm up to a little over 3,000 followers. That's and it's awesome. Only been like 2 or 3 days.
Anything from me? Anything from, did you get any spike from me sharing anything?
Oh, absolutely, baby.
Do you have,
that's great. And obviously, they're gonna have a lot of interest in this. So this is pretty good for you, my friend.
It hasn't like toned down. I expected it to be big for like 24 hours and then sort of like taper off, but it's like so big. I'm getting so many messages, so many emails, just people just wanting to know where they can get it, wanting to be involved, wanting to know what happened. I got a podcast lined up every night this week. Just, you know, so it's like awesome. It's really cool that it's still going up. You know.
I mean, none clearly as good as this podcast, but we wish you luck on those other podcasts.
Thank you. Well, you guys are the first wrestling podcast I am on. The rest are G.I. Joe toy podcasts.
Is there like, do you have like a favorite G.I. Joe Hasbro or something you got to take from your time there where you're like, oh, I'm going to snag this prototype or this cast? Or is there, something like, oh, you could take this, like we're not going to use it, or are you going to get in trouble? Did I just throw you under the bus?
you're technically not supposed to take anything, so I can't say if I took anything or not.
Fair enough.
I'm gonna say no. Yeah. Bobby's a good guy.
But if that guy,
I mean, I did work on some cool stuff there, and I did get, there was some cool stuff in my office. The only thing that the one thing I did take, where is it? I took this and they're not getting it back, was I worked on an item that won a Toy of the Year award, which is really hard to do because the toy industry is so big. But I took the award because I felt like I had done so much for the item. I was like, you know what? I'm taking that. They're not getting to keep that.
That's awesome.
So they never asked for it back. So they're not getting it though.
What was the toy?
That is awesome.
Any designs on creating a character for Action Force based on your buddy, Kevin?
Hey, I listen, I'm open to throwing anyone in the line. Like I tell everyone, I'm like, listen, you want to be a character in the line? Sure, I can create a character around you. So, you know, I know they did that back in the day with G.I. Joes. They put guys head sculpts on a lot of Joes. So,
because I'm thinking, and you make Kevin one of the bad characters, and then he gets Sergeant Slaughter to turn, and he becomes a Kevin sympathizer.
Ooh.
You've never had an Iraqi sympathizer version of Sergeant Slaughter. That'd be a hot one. I'm sure Zack Ryder would buy the whole case of them.
I'm surprised Zack hasn't asked me for, like, the prototype paint master yet.
Oh, he will.
I know, right?
He will. Bobby, we want to thank you for joining us here tonight. We're going to let you go. I know you got a lot of stuff to deal with. Matt, Tony, do you have anything for Bobby at this point? Or
Bobby, it's a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to join us. The figure looks awesome. How are the pre-orders going? Because you said the pre-orders are up, right?
The pre-orders exploded, like literally exploded. And I have a minimum order that I have to do from the factory. And we shattered that number in 24 hours. So it's way over what we expected. It keeps on climbing. Big Bad tells me all you know, daily on what their orders are. And it's mind blowing. So like between people ordering on my side and people ordering on their side. And then I'm getting contacted by distributors and other third parties that want to, you know, wholesale, not just Sarge, but the whole line. And then, you know, because there's like this halo effect that's happened, because with Big Bad was like, the Sarge order started coming in, but then people didn't just want Sarge, they wanted the whole line. So it's really like Sarge has helped the line more than I can even say, because it's literally helped every aspect of Action Force.
Nice.
That's awesome, man.
I'm going to have to jump on there and pre-order.
But thank you guys so much for having me. I was really psyched to come on the show. It was great to see Kev again. But yeah, no, thank you guys. It was the pleasure was all mine.
Nice to meet you too, man. Best of luck.
You want to run down real quick where they can order plugs, anything you want to run down real quick, social media, all that stuff.
Yep. Just follow Valiverse on Facebook and Instagram, valiverse.com. All three of those platforms have the link to the CrowdOx site, which is where you place your pre-orders. There's also a Valiverse YouTube channel, and the link to the pre-orders is on all the posts on the YouTube channel. You can also order from Big Bad Toy Store. They have every Action Force item, including Sergeant Slaughter, available from Series 1. That's everywhere you can find everything. I'm very accessible on social media. I have my own personal page. I have the Valiverse page, the Instagram page, the YouTube channel, and I'm literally the only one in the company. So any message that comes in, you're getting a response from me.
Nice.
Awesome. All right, Bob. Thanks so much, man. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining
Bobby.
Us, man.
Be well.
Take care.
All right, Bobby Valla from Valiverse.com. I'm probably going to end up pre-ordering one of these Sergeant Slaughter gimmicks now.
I was just looking at the whole line. They look cool as shit, man. He's a pretty damn good designer.
Yeah. And all that stuff that he was saying was true. We worked at a law firm together back in, God, I don't know how long ago. And he was always a good drawer. And and he just got asked to do it. And he freelanced Transformers, and the rest was history. So I was very happy. Thank you guys for allowing me to have him on tonight. I appreciate that very much.
He was cool, man. He was cool. I'd say top five guests. I got to go with the gimmick. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Live the gimmick, bro. And if you want to support our action figure habits or the podcast, you can head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Every dollar helps. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. $3 a month, you get a fun watch-along. You get a code for Pro Wrestling Tees where you can save 10% on Shining Wizards t-shirts. And as you go up in the tiers, you get more perks. So please, if you enjoy what you're listening to and you can afford a dollar, $1 to show your support to the Shining Wizards. And if you can't, it's fine. Leave a review. Tell a friend. Follow us on social media. Share the episode on social media. It's all appreciated. But at this time, these people pledged a dollar, and we mention them every week on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast for the world to hear. The world hears this.
Every fucking week.
18 countries.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's pretty wild shit. So we're going to start with the queen of the Shining Wizards, Miss Kathy Hummer, and her sidekick, Christine Friesendorf. Manny Krazzo, the king of the wizards over there in Austria. Mr. Ryan Van Dam, Ryan Arthur, over at elementarybrewery.com, elementary, ELEMENTARY.com. They're starting to open things back up in here in Jersey. They do have outdoor seating, and you can purchase brew to go. So if you're in Bergen County, Hackensack is in Bergen County, check out Elementary Brewery. Sean Toe. And my good friend Sean Calejo, Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Mr. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Michael Hammond, Mr. Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scotch Drinks More. Mark Porloni, he celebrated a birthday
a couple weeks ago.
And I'll update you on your New Japan Cup picks, Mark, because that's not annoying. Benjamin Martinez, the ultimate horrier. Matthew Birch, our good friend True Prince of Pro on the Twitter machine. Definitely give him a follow. Kate Hensler from OnDeckIC.com. If you need a jingle for your podcast, Kate's the girl to go to. Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP, and fellow D-Generation Y members. Thomas Copps, the Moot Spock. My man.
Moot Spock, you fucking.
Hey, Tony, it's Moot.
My man. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hauserman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. And last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are gonna be. And William Mercer sanitized hands. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And if you're looking to join chat, the Discord is rocking and rolling. I figured out a way to make sure that the link doesn't expire. So if you share the link, it is good forever. If you are a douchebag, I will ban you from the group, which I had to do today because people are fucktards.
Was it someone we know or a rando?
Nope, it was just a rando. I'm all for having an open dialogue. We disagree all the time on the show. But when you constantly tell somebody they're wrong for thinking a certain way and liking people and you don't agree with it, it's fine. But when you start telling people you're wrong and you only like him because he's dead and you are ignorant about it and you don't see that you're the problem, that's when you get your ass thrown out.
I like it. So, dropping a hammer.
Don't tell me I think Eddie Guerrero is a top fiver because he's dead. Because I've liked him when he was a tag team with Art Barr, when he was fucking Black Tagger, when he was in ECW, when he was in WCW. And that was before he fucking went on a sick run in the WWE. So eat a dick, bitch.
Whoever said that Eddie Guerrero is not top five, Eddie Guerrero is easily, in my world, top three or top four in-ring performer of all time.
And look, everyone's different.
That's not debatable.
You don't have to agree. But you can't tell somebody how to think or how to feel. That's fucking stupid. So join our Discord. It's a good time as long as you don't act like a jackaloon.
Can I do some plugs?
Yeah, please plug away. Ooh. I got to take a piss.
All right, good, because I kind of want to plug everybody on the Shining Wizards Network. I know we haven't been doing that too often because we haven't been playing commercials. So I'm going to do some plug skis right now. Let's go through everybody that's on the Shining Wizards Network, including us, your boys, the Shining Wizards. I want to start with our boys at the High Spot Podcast, the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Haven't done an episode in a while, but that's probably COVID-related. I'm sure they'll be back soon. KP and his dad, American Loser. That's a fucking great show. Not to be outdone by his Dumbfellas brethren. Bumper Podcast with Natty Bumper Car. Of course, Snowy with his tag team attraction with Radioactive Metal. And Wrestling Night in Canada. Good stuff from the Snowman. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, of course, our boys. Big Cop of Pump, Jay Cop. And, of course, Phil Rea and Portuguese Man of War. The guy with the fucking awful feet. That fucking dirty gypsy choppy. We love you guys. And, of course,
This is how podcasts get canceled, Tony. And you say stuff like that.
Well, I mean, everybody knows that Choppy's got some gnarly looking feet. I mean, he fucking Inconclusive Breakdown, my boy Justin, his boy Vince, their boy Juan from Puerto Rico when he decides he doesn't need to hide from the Federales. They do a great show. Kevin, big announcement.
Go for it. Knock yourself out.
After a 5-year hiatus, returning not only for the month of July, but also returning to the Shining Wizards Network, our buddy Mike Norenganger and our buddy Cal Brody, the Midnight Jury, making their official return next week as part of the Shining Wizards Network. Make sure you check them out. Make sure you check out all the shows on the Shining Wizards Network. And I'm fucking tired, dude. This fucking daddy soda, whatever you want to call it, is hitting me in the feels tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a little bit.
You gonna take a napski?
Here's the truth, right?
Okay, here we go.
My fucking kid, you hear him screaming. He's been screaming at his fucking Xbox. He screams at his computer. This is what the kids do, right?
Did he fuck up his vocal cords?
Yeah, they get on the Fortnite and they just fucking scream at each other. Nonstop fucking insanity, right?
Okay.
So since school's over and since he's getting of that age, he wants to stay up all night. So he'll stay up till like fucking midnight. He wants to stay up till one. Yeah, probably. Probably a little bit of that too. Motherfucker goes in the bathroom for an hour and you're, all right, I'll be right out. And you don't fucking hear anything. Anyway, so he screams, he yells, he hollers. And I like to wake up early. I get up at like 6:30 because I start my work at 7 because I want to get my shit done because I got fucking DDPY to hit at the fucking end of my work day, right? I'll make some dinner, get some fucking good nutrition, then I can pass out on the couch. I was so tired on Saturday. We went to my sister-in-law's for my niece's one-year birthday, which was fucking disappointing because all the fucking restaurants were closed, so they had to cancel this big party for her. So it's pretty much just me, my wife, my kid, and my mother-in-law went over there to wish my niece a happy first birthday. I was like the old man of the party. I went in the living room. I passed out on the couch for a half an hour.
You're the man at parties, Tony.
Then we go home. We got home at like 5 o'clock. I woke up. It was 7:30. What the fuck happened for 2.5 hours? I was fucking dead to the world. I'm fucking tired old man lately.
Good for you.
No, not good for me. Bad for me. I don't want to fucking be old man, tired old man. I'm supposed to be young and virile and strong and doing my DDP and building muscles and getting energy. And
Are you too tired for the weekly Kevin? Are you too tired for that?
Never tired for weekly Kevin. Are you out of your fucking mind?
All right. Just making sure.
Now, this is going to be hard to top last week's top five list. I'm just going to throw it out there.
We're going to do it now or do you want to?
I say let's do it now.
We don't want to. All right, then we can go back to New Japan update.
Yeah, we got Kevin's ready. He's primed. He's feeling confident.
Oh no, go for it, man.
The first week was really good. Last week was a fucking grand slam. I don't want to add in. See, I can see it already. Don't feel like added pressure, Kev. This is your list. You're in control of this. I'm excited about this.
It's messy now.
Come on. Give me the confidence. No, give me the confidence. Come on, Kev. You got this.
Come on. Give it to me. Give me the danglers, the hairy danglers.
This week's list is a list that people will probably be able to poke holes through, but it's my top five tag teams that were formed by single stars or singles wrestlers that were just kind of there. So okay. It's WWF only. I'll say that.
Okay.
And it's top five tag teams that ended up doing really well based on guys that were good, guys that were bad, guys that were just kind of blah. And I'm not talking about guys like, you know, the Mega Powers. I'm not talking about Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin as a tag team. Bret Hart and Goldberg, obviously, that was WCW. But top five tag teams formed by singles guys that were doing nothing or on a downturn or just kind of there in purgatory, if you will. So whoever wants to start can start.
Tony, you want to take a shot or you want me to go?
I'll start.
All right.
We are the bar.
That's a good one. Never even thought about it.
Kidding me, Kevin? Kevin!
I mean, that's more for Cesaro than for Sheamus.
Kevin.
Never even thought about it. That's a good one, though.
Kevin!
I know they're on the list because me and Kevin have talked about this several times. I will say Power and Glory.
Matt, you're wrong.
Oh! You suck, Matt.
Power and Glory is the inspiration for the list.
And they didn't make the list.
Because they didn't have success. And that's the only thing that's keeping them from the list. When I thought of this list, they were the first team I thought of. But because they didn't have the success of the teams on this list, they didn't make it. They couldn't make it.
Okay.
But they're the inspiration.
I got my thinking cap on now.
I've got two teams. One of them I think is a little more out there than the other, so I'm going to go with the one that's a little tighter. I'm going to say Tito Santana and Rick Martel, Strike Force.
Tony. Tony cracks the list first.
Yeah.
Strike Force, number four on the list.
Yeah! We are striking with force!
Rick Martel had his run, tag team champion with Tony Garea, left AWA. This came back, did Can-Am Connection, just kind of there when Tom Zenk left. Tito Santana on the downward end of his career, IC champ. He was doing Spanish commentary at the time when the Strike Force formed. Whether that was part of the plan or not, I don't know. But Strike Force are striking with force. They are number four on the list.
Well, you can't forget as well, Tito was also tag team champions with Ivan Putski years ago, too.
So. In the 1979.
Yes. So. Yeah, there you go. Number four. We did it.
All right. Going to go back to the wheelhouse because I know Kevin, and I'm going to say Brian Kendrick and Paul London.
Tony has just been outdone. Paul London and Brian Kendrick are on the list, and Matt, they are number two.
Woo-hoo! I like it. I like it.
Paul London, Cruiserweight champion, whatever, did his weird little stomp gimmick. He had tassels on his feet. Brian Kendrick was a bellhop in a feud against The Undertaker. They were off and on again tag teams for a while. Kendrick left, came back. When they formed, they became the longest reigning tag team champions in SmackDown history. Paul London, Brian Kendrick, number two, and it doesn't hurt that they are two of my all-time favorites. So you got two guys. You got number four and number two.
All right. Tony, you got anything in the hopper?
I think you guys are missing one obvious one. One that you'll probably won't get, and one that you'll get, but my criteria might be a little shaky in your heads for it.
Great.
You might think that they're better than... When they were formed as a tag team, they may have been better than the rest of the list. But you guys are missing a blatant one.
Huh. See, now I got three of them floating in my head.
Throw out one of them.
Let's do it, Dare Donkey.
I'm just trying to think if they had any success. I think they had a title run. I'm going to say Mick Foley and Al Snow.
I'm not doing it, Tony.
In your face.
Only because I'm not doing like we were singles guys and then we came together with no name or anything like that. Or like they were legit tag teams that had a significant run.
Alright, well there you go. Okay, so I wasted a pick. Matt, you're up.
I'm gonna say Owen Hart and the British Bulldog.
No, for the same reason.
Did you not just pay attention?
Shit.
They were two big stars who were put together. These are guys that were not big stars necessarily, one way or the other. And one, you might have a problem with this criteria, but I think you'll still get it if I drop enough hints. But no, one, I don't think you'll get.
See, because... fuck. See?
You guys are really missing one. Like,
I want to say Kane and X-Pac because Kane may have been a member of DX at the time, but I don't think that fits your criteria.
No, it doesn't fit the criteria.
That's what I'm talking about.
The New Aged Outlaws.
There it is. Matt got number one. That's number one.
Rockabilly?
You do not besmirch the good name of Rockabilly.
Oh, fuck you, good name.
You're taking Rockabilly, Billy Gunn, heel, honky tonk man manager, and then you're taking
the real
DJ
Double J.
James, the roadie. And you put them together, and they become arguably, in my opinion, top 10 tag team of all time. So, that's number one, boys. You got it. Tony, why don't you like that pick as number one?
I don't know. It was just weird. Because I don't think of them as a thrown-together team.
But they kind of were.
They are the epitome of thrown-together.
Neither
one of them had anything to do. Both jobbers on free-for-all. Billy and Bart were fighting. Flash Funk was beating one of them every other week.
Yeah, but they had time to build. I think a lot of these other teams just sort of like it happened and they were off to the races. I don't think that was the case with Billy Gunn and Road Dogg because they had a build for a while.
All right. Okay. All right, so you're look, right about that.
And they fit the criteria fine. It's just like, I don't know, it's a head scratcher, but whatever. No, it worked.
You're right about that they had time to gel and get there together, but they were thrown together. They were thrown together randomly, so that's why they fit the mold. All right, guys, you got two, and I think these are the hardest two to get. So,
Tony.
Fuck. Bo Dallas and fucking what's his nuts, the B Squad.
No, come on, stop it.
They were tag team champions. What do you mean, stop it?
No, they weren't.
Yeah, they were. The B Team absolutely were former tag team champions.
I believe they were.
If that's the case, then Hawkins and Ryder would be on the list like six times.
Oh, well, I'm glad I don't have to waste a pick on them.
Yeah, they're not on the list.
Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston.
No.
Oh, good, because they had a name.
Yeah, I still consider that makeshifty.
Championships and accomplishments. WWE Raw Tag Team Championship one time for the B Team. There you go.
Yeah. These teams are better, I think. Actually, one might not be better than the B Team.
Fuck.
I'll give you...
No hints. No
hints. No hints. I'm fine with that.
I think I got one.
Is anyone chiming in on anything?
Oh, fuck me running. The Twin Towers, Boss Man and Akeem.
No.
Are you kidding me, Kevin? Are you kidding?
That's a good one, Tony.
Two ham hocks that were doing fuck all by themselves.
Akeem was a ham hock. Boss Man, I wouldn't put him in ham hock realm yet. But they also never held the belts. So holding the belts.
Okay, I got another one. Earthquake and Typhoon, the national disasters.
Thought about them.
Oh, come on!
Thought about them.
You are killing me, Garifo.
But they were
killing
both
me.
Earthquake wasn't, like, in oblivion yet.
Yeah, come on, dude.
He wasn't there. Like, and this is why you might have a problem with one of the teams I have on.
Oh, Jesus.
But Tugboat was kind of in oblivion. Earthquake was, they were both kind of just there. Like, they were still big stars. Like, if you put Earthquake in any match against anyone, you would still believe it was a main event. Tugboat was still upper mid card.
God damn, dude.
Can I get a Too Cool?
Too Cool, number five.
Come on, Brian Christopher and fucking Scotty Too Hotty weren't doing shit but jobs for SA Rio.
That's right. The failed lightweight division hurt Brian Christopher. Scott Taylor was a certified job guy on Raw since 1993. Good guess, Matt. You nailed it. Too All cool. Right. So you're missing the one. And this is the one that I think the criteria might throw you off.
Is it Team Hell No? Is it fucking Daniel?
No, it's not.
They fall into the number three spot, right?
Number three spot.
All right. Thinking. Tag teams, guys thrown together.
Did the New Heart Foundation ever win the tag belts?
No. And neither did High Energy. There are no hearts on this list.
All right. Thinking. You wouldn't say 1-2-3 Kid and Bob Holly, would you?
No. Or Marty Jannetty. Neither one.
Okay.
This team had a substantial run as a team.
Tag teams. It's not Road Warrior, Animal, and Heidenreich, is it?
No, I thought about him.
Oh, come on!
I'm done with Tony. The fact that you think I was serious when I thought about Heidenreich and Road Warrior, Animal.
It's possible, dude. You fucking pulled the hooligans out of that time period, too.
Longest reigning tag team champions in SmackDown history.
I know, we heard, I know.
Again, this isn't the best tag teams of all time. This is just the best hodgepodge that we put together.
APA.
Thought about them.
Oh, that's a good call.
Made the cut. They would have been number five. Strikeforce actually bumped them out. Not Too Cool.
Windham and Rotunda.
No. I have no idea how they even formed. So.
Fuck.
Can we get an era?
I'll give you from... I don't want to give it away. I'm going to give a broad era. It's from 1990, and they weren't a team this whole time, I'm just giving you a scope of when they were a team. 1990 to 1995, they were a team for probably about two years in that span.
The Body Donnas? What, Skip and Zip? They weren't doing fuck all. Dr. Tom.
Yeah, but Tom wasn't even in the company. Like, he wasn't like a, he wasn't, he was Doctor of Desire from the Bodies. They completely repackaged him.
They were former tag champs. They had a hell of fun.
I think you guys are going to kick yourselves when you.
HBK and Diesel?
No.
All right. All right. Let's think. Tag team champions.
Oh! No, they didn't have any success. Fuck. I was going to say Lex and the fucking Bulldog.
Oh, the Allied Powers? No, that's a good one, though. They probably should have got way more than they got.
What, the opening match against the Blues?
Yeah.
Okay. 95.
I can't believe this, guys.
Who else teamed around that time? Men on a Mission?
It's not Arn and Tully, right?
No.
Okay.
Oh, God.
They came in as a team.
Okay. You mentioned Men on a Mission.
They fought Men on a Mission.
It's not the Quebecers, is it?
No. Well, maybe they didn't fight Men on a Mission. No, they probably fought Men on a Mission. No, they probably didn't fight Men on a Mission. No.
It's not the Beverly Brothers.
It's not.
They were a tag team.
You're in the era.
Not Furnace and LaFawn.
No, Tony. They were nowhere near the era of the Beverly Brothers. Mike Enos was being interrupted by Scott Hall while Doug Furnace and Phil LaFawn were wrestling on Raw.
We mentioned the Natural Disasters.
Yes.
It's not the Powers of Pain, is it?
No, you guys are so close. You don't even know it with those two teams that you named already. So close.
The Powers of Pain came in.
No, not Powers of Pain. The two before that, you're right there.
Techno Team 2000?
Tony's just trolling now.
Dude, you don't know how hard this is. You came up with the list. All right, I'm getting this.
It's not the Head Shrinkers.
Nope.
Money Inc.
Nailed it. There it is.
Fucker.
Money Incorporated.
That's a good pick.
And this is why I thought you might have a problem with it, because it's like Million Dollar Man and IRS. IRS didn't achieve his big time runs till after this team faded, and Million Dollar Man was on the back nine of his.
No,
so
because
put them together.
No, but
he was Tony. Tony, he was.
Mike Rotundo had two WWE tag title runs under his belt at that point.
Yeah, but come on, Tony. It's
IRS
it's
wasn't doing shit. He was getting beat by Razor Ramon in the main event of Superstars.
That was before. That wasn't even there yet.
British Bulldog and fucking Kerry Von Erich, wasn't he?
IRS's most prominent feud was with the Big Boss Man, if that. And then he was just around.
Oh, Tatanka. He didn't pay his fucking taxes.
That was after.
I liked the list, Kev. I liked it.
I liked it. It was great.
Techno Team 2000 and the Beverly Brothers. Get out of here. You're banned from the list, Tony.
You're fucking Eric fired. Watts,
fucking Chris, whatever his name was, getting together. Matt, what was
Chad,
your name?
Chris Champion? No, Chad.
Chad Fortune.
Chad Fortune, yeah.
That was it.
Tony, you're exiled to the swamp.
Yeah, you're going to the swamp horror match.
So this is a thing, Tony. This is the main. This is probably going to be the main event of Extreme Rules. Horror Hotel. What is it? Horror. Where the fuck is it? My fucking notes.
It's not a dance, is it? The horror?
It's called The Horror Show. Extreme Rules, The Horror Show. Your main event is, I'm assuming this is your main event, and I could be wrong because they could put the women in the spot. They might put McIntyre and Ziggler in that spot because they got traded to Raw last week while we were doing the show. Him, Ziggler and Robert Roode got traded to Raw because that's still a thing. This is a non-title Universal Championship match. Braun Strowman will face Bray Wyatt in a Wyatt swamp fight. Come on. Get some.
I can't, Matt. I know you want me to give it to you. I can't.
I don't know what I want. What the fuck's a swamp fight? This is gonna be another production piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a swamp with some gators.
Alligator. How are they gonna do this? How are you gonna? You're in Florida with the.
Don't worry.
What are you gonna rent gators? What are you gonna rent gators and put them in like a pool?
You could put some CGI gators in there.
No, you get real gators. They just fucking put them in the fridge for a while. It cools them down.
And then they don't want to eat you?
They don't move. They're cold-blooded. So if you drop the temperature on them, they tend to stay tighter to stay warmer so they don't get aggressive.
Huh.
But then what do they do? Have like Muppet Gators come out to make it a threat?
Ooh, that sounds like a great show, Muppet Gators.
All right, CGI the fuck out of this. This is what your Extreme Rules horror show is looking like.
Oh, I can't fucking wait, please.
Your swamp fight, you got McIntyre defending against the returning Dolph Ziggler, because now he's on Raw. Asuka defending against Sasha Banks, so she's going to try and double up on the belts too. And then Bayley will be defending against Nikki Cross, because Nikki Cross beat Lacey Evans in a match one of these nights this week. So that is how Extreme Rules is shaping up the horror show, if you will.
I mean, I don't hate it. It's just that it's just rough that it's a pay-per-view and that's what they're throwing at us. That's the only thing that if this was a Raw, which it might as well be, to be honest with you, other than like the Swamp Fox. I mean, Ziggler, McIntyre should be fine. Asuka, right. Sasha should be fine. It is what it is at this point.
Yep.
Yeah, kind of, right? It gets that feel to it. And then NXT announced that they were going to run the Great American Bash this Wednesday and next Wednesday against AEW's Fighter Fest.
Yeah, because they're not in competition, not at all.
So your night one, this Wednesday night. Another non-title match. Just so we're keeping track of all these non-title matches. NXT Women's Champion Io Shirai will wrestle Sasha Banks. There will be a four-way elimination match between Mia Yim, Tegan Nox, Candice LeRae, and Dakota Kai.
I can get down with that.
There's a strap match between Dexter Lumis and Roderick Strong.
Roddy. That stuff they've been doing has been great, though. The Roddy Strong, that's been so funny.
Like him seeing him everywhere and freaking the fuck out.
And him they're doing like a thing where like they're seeing a psychiatrist, but it's Kyle O'Reilly in like a.
Yes, I actually saw that. Yes.
That's fun. That's funny.
Timothy Thatcher against Oney Lorcan.
Another great, great program. And the way they're building up Timothy Thatcher is awesome.
And then your 2-on-1 handicap match. This is just for you, Tony. Rhea Ripley has to fight Aaliyah and Robert Stone. And if Rhea Ripley loses, she must join the Robert Stone brand.
I don't know what the fuck a Robert Stone brand is.
That's our boy. That's Echoes, baby.
Car crashed 20 years ago. I don't give I give less than a zero fucks about that match.
That's our boy Robert Echoes. That's New Jersey's own.
Great. And then July 8th, the only match that's been announced so far is a winner-take-all title versus title match as NXT champion Adam Cole takes on NXT North American champion Keith Lee.
That's awesome.
Great. Now, because we could transition over into New Japan with that being said, because I don't understand how you book yourself now. Like, I'm very interested to see the direction. I have been since he won at Wrestle Kingdom. What do you do with Naito being a double champion now? Because it seems like when he faces the winner of the New Japan Cup at Dominion, both titles are on the line.
Eventually, he's going to have to defend one and then the other. Eventually, yeah. He's going to have to become the two-match guy.
Or he just defends one on a show. And then if he loses it, then he sells another one.
If he loses it, though, right, wouldn't that challenger then want to go back and wrestle him again for, like, if he loses the Intercontinental Championship to Sonata, wouldn't Sonata be like, oh, I have his number, now I'm going to go after the IWGP Heavyweight Championship?
Yeah, and then as the number one contender, and his belt's not on the line, maybe. And then he winds up losing that, and then they separate him for a while, and then they eventually bring him back together. Why can't they?
Why do they have to be brought back together?
when one of them doesn't have a championship. So this way you have the title split and there's no more like the champions being on top of each other. So look, if Naito loses the IC title, say to Sonata, and then Sonata gets a match with him for the world championship, and only the world championship's on the line, and then he loses. So Naito gets that win. Now Sonata breaks off because he's got to defend the IC title. Naito moves on to the next challenger. Now eventually, say Sonata loses the title or Naito loses the title somewhere down the road. Then you could eventually come back to that feud, and then it's for either one guy's title or the other guy's title, and you don't have to worry about the second belt being involved. So it's titles apart.
Can't you just get away from them being together at all? Like, why do they have to?
Because
I don't understand why they have to be associated with each other.
They don't have to be, but that option is there.
Yeah.
You know,
like if these guys put on two killer matches, you could separate them. Like one guy's got to defend against the winner of such a tournament, or this other guy is, you know, like challenging now. So you get them apart from each other, and then eventually down the road, you could wind up bringing them back together if it works out, you know?
Oh, you're talking about the actual wrestlers, not the belts.
Correct.
No, wrestlers. Yeah, the wrestlers.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the championships.
And if there's one belt they should get rid of, it should be that fucking U.S. title. That thing is fucking gross looking. I hate that belt. I fucking hate that belt.
Well, it's not on TV now because Moxley can't get there, so.
No, I get it, but still, like, you look at all the other belts, like, even the Never belts, they sort of look like they fit. That fucking U.S. belt is just garbage looking. Garbage looking.
Well, I mean, it was made for the sole purpose of it to be defended in the U.S. because that's where New Japan was looking to expand prior to.
I get it. It's just a shitty looking belt. I get why they had the championship. I just think it should look better.
I mean, you can't. All the belts aren't going to look amazing.
Hey, what do you think of this? These pictures came up on one of the belt websites. Some fucking guy had a cockamamie idea of combining the big eagle with the winged eagle. What do you think of something like this? Can you guys see this? I want to hold it up.
So I love it. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. You get a good view of that, Matt?
Yeah. I'm like,
I love it.
The winged eagle is my belt. So like this, it looks nice, but I can't go anything but the winged eagle.
Is it bigger than the winged eagle size wise, Matt? I mean, Tony?
It looks like it's probably the big eagle size. It's just one picture of it. Somebody has it in their collection. Here's the other one that I think you might get on board with, Kev. It might use a little bit of a change, but somebody also came up with this one.
For the Intercontinental Championship?
Yeah,
oh, that's the combo of the purple belt. And
yeah, this has been going around for a little bit.
I'll tell you what. I love the original, the belt that you showed before, the Winged Eagle / Big Eagle, because every time I go back and watch something from the Winged Eagle era, and I see someone holding it or wearing it, it just looks too small to me. And it was never more apparent when Ric Flair brought in the big gold belt. And I'm looking at the Winged Eagle belt, and I'm like, oh, man, that's like a really – it's a gorgeous belt, but it's really kind of small. So, like, the Intercontinental Championship belt was bigger than the Winged Eagle belt. So, I love that first belt, the big Winged Eagle belt. I would love to have.
There's some creative people out there. I wish, you know, that maybe they would take a couple of pointers when they're designing the next stage of belts, which apparently that U.S. title has been revamped. And I don't know whether they're waiting for replicas to be built of it or they're just waiting for the right time to put it on TV. But there is and there has been a story that there's been a new U.S. belt around for a while and they just haven't debuted it yet. So.
What about the TNT championship? Has there been any development with that?
It just is the same silver and red every week, right, Matt? Like, it didn't change.
Yeah, but is that what it's still supposed to be?
No.
Supposedly, it's got to be plated. It's got to be, you know, leafed, whatever the process is, and made gold. But I don't know.
It's gonna be a while. With the world ending in Florida, I'm sure it's going to be take a little more time.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I know nothing about making a belt, so.
I wish
I just wasn't sure. The restrictions were on getting that done.
There's got to be just some heavy duty equipment that just makes the plates. I can't imagine like the detailing is like, it's probably painstaking, but probably not difficult once you've done it a while. The thing that freaks me is the leather. Like there's a lot of work that goes into like putting the leather together, the straps, the snaps, the tooling and all that stuff. Like that's the kind of shit where like you have to be spot on with that work, because I've seen some bad leather jobs, even by the guys that have been making the belts for years. Like I've seen some Joe Marshall belts that have been fucking just terrible, terrible. And people buy them. People buy them with all the fucking imperfections and all the bad look and everything. I don't get it.
Everyone's tied to a, you know, they have certain memories or something that they see in each title.
Yeah, this is true. But buy one that's like at least decent looking. There's also tons of bootlegs that come out of like especially Pakistan. Some of those guys do really great work for bootlegs. Some of them are fucking piles of dog shit. Like, worse than the original run of Figures Inc. belts. Like, 1 millimeter brass plates, not even etched. Like, they're fucking horrid. Like, one of the big ones is the IC belt, the classic IC belt. And the fonts don't even match. Like, Intercontinental is a completely different font than Heavyweight Wrestling Champion. They're fucking dog shit.
If I was going to buy any titles, I think I would buy the Winged Eagle. And the IWGP Heavyweight Championship belt.
The IWGP is definitely number one on my list. That fucker's got details up the wazoo. That's a belt.
I was watching an old episode of TNA, and it was like Shinsuke Nakamura versus somebody, and he had the IWGP Championship belt. That's like the one that's like kind of like the bowl, and it has like the spikes on the top.
Yeah, it looks like a crown almost, yeah.
I couldn't believe that, knowing what New Japan is and has become over the last 5 years, that belt was on Impact and not like WWE or anything like that. It's just like
there were some dark New Japan times from like 2000 to like 2010, like bad.
Yeah, and it all had to do with Inoki fucking pretty much just losing his mind. Just like losing his mind.
He was like super heavily invested in like MMA fighting. So he wanted. So like he used Nakamura in MMA fights while he was the IWGP heavyweight champion. So he would fight in an MMA fight like 3 days before Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
And then he'd show up with like a fucking black eye. Like it was like. And they did these weird like MMA style matches where they were bringing in. Someone shared it in the Discord today, the Brock Lesnar-Kurt Angle match for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And I think they gave Brock like a shitload of money. He came in there, he won the title, then he took it with him. There's like four different versions of the IWGP Heavyweight Championship that people have won and then just left.
Yeah, that was the the third version of the belt? They actually called that the... And I don't... I think that version was different because there was another one that just had IWGP and raised letters across the front. That might have been the one that Lesnar was carrying around. And that's not even – it was eventually morphed into the one that exists now. But that was something that Inoki was doing with his Genome Federation where that was all split off as well. So you had like Brock Lesnar and then another point. Wasn't Shinsuke the champ at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's fucking like IWGP belts all over the fucking place.
Yeah, it was weird.
Eventually, he lost it back to Shinsuke, didn't he? Didn't Kurt Angle lose it to Shinsuke to unify everything? It's very cloudy from my memory.
Because they're like, I think the genesis of that Lesnar Angle match was that they were going to work with Impact, and Angle was going to take the title off of Lesnar.
And he did. He brought the belt to Impact. He had the belt on Impact.
Yeah, I don't.
He was like IWGP and TNA champion at the same time.
Yeah, it's that early 2000s and New Japan stuff is really hard to follow, and there's a lot of moving pieces. And
it's really amazing that they weathered that storm and became like the powerhouse that they are now. Because you forget, too, in the 90s, it was all about All Japan. All Japan was fucking where it was at. In Japan wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, New Japan did well with the Three Musketeers, but,
But it was fucking, it was Misawa, it was Kobayashi.
Right, they had Chono and Muda and, fuck.
I know.
Misawa?
No, that was All Japan.
Chono, Muda, Tenzan?
No. Dead. The fucking fat, he's dead now. He's the fat... The fat...
Jumbo.
No, it wasn't Jumbo.
I know who you
Shinyo,
mean.
Shinyo Hashimoto. Hashimoto?
Yes. Shinya, yes.
Yeah, they were the Three Musketeers. They were big there. And then Ricky Chosen was there, and he got involved. That book, Eggshells, is amazing. It's an amazing read.
I'm going to have to... Dude, I have so many wrestling books that I have to catch up on.
So what? So, and this is going completely off topic. So what do you, who's attributed to New Japan becoming this big powerhouse? Like, who's responsible for that?
It started with Nakamura. Nakamura was the guy that fight. Nakamura, you could probably compare him to the Bret Hart of New Japan, where everything around them was falling apart, but he was still the fucking rock that they had, that the company was like riding.
But Bret Hart really didn't draw like business like
No, but Bret Hart kept the loyalists around, and he still had a big following. And I think that was Nakamura's role.
It was Nakamura and Tanahashi.
There you go.
So that made them that exploded New Japan back up again.
That helped. Then they got new owners, and then Okada came back from Excursion, and they strapped the rocket to him, and he went to TNA.
Yeah,
And a lot of people did not like that they made him the IWGP heavyweight champion.
Yeah, but people love the shit out of him now.
Now, yes, but at the time it was like, who was this guy? You know, you saw him as a young lion, and then he went away, and he came back, and there was really nothing special to him. But it worked out. But yeah, like 2000 to like 2010, even like you could like 2012 was just rough shit for them. A lot of bad decisions, you know, working with TNA, just throwing money around. It was an Inoki trying to do, like, the MMA stuff. It was real fucking weird. Great book, though.
He fucking lost his mind. He was losing his shit.
So you want to talk about the New Japan Cup?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Didn't realize how much I missed Kevin Kelly until I watched the first night of round two, and what a fucking awesome job he does. Because I didn't watch, we did our show last week, and then the final night was taking place Tuesday morning of round
24th,
one.
Right? Because that's what I watch.
And then they did the, June 24th was the first night of round two. So
I'm doing it wrong, Matt.
No, you're doing okay. So after our show last Monday night, there was a show Tuesday morning, and that was the last four matches of round one,
which I watched live.
Yeah.
In the Japanese glory with all the commentary with the oh no, and oh yeah, and all that stuff.
What is that?
It's the pick music.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have the pick results.
That's okay.
No, I think that was actually that was coming from me somewhere. Either a car outside or my house inside.
So, our last four first round matches, Bushi-Yo, Yoshihashi Tenzin, Hiroki Goto, Yujiro, and Evil and Kojima.
And a six-man.
And a six-man, but that doesn't count towards the tournament, so I don't...
Cares. I love them. They're okay. All fucking...
Tony, how did you... Did you have a favorite match from night four? It's hard to follow up night three with what they gave us with Tanahashi and Taichi and Zack Sabre and Kota.
Yep. It's killing me, though, because I feel like I fucking watched it a year ago.
Yeah.
It was a little while ago. Well, Bushi beat Yo. Yoshihashi, who I fucking hate, beat Hiroshi Tenzan. Hiroki Goto beat Yujiro Takahashi, and Evil beat Kojima.
Evil and Kojima was a good match. Evil's a fucking evil-looking motherfucker. The name fits. He's a big boy.
He's a beast.
Holy shit, he's a big boy. I enjoyed that match. Give me a minute.
Hiromu versus Yano.
So you watched night one of the second round, which is perfect.
Okay. I started watching, which was a multi-man match. I think like Tamagotchi was involved and somebody else. So then I watched Okada versus
Nagata
and Ishii, my boy, my main man.
Big
Ishii.
Tom. And Togi.
What are your thoughts? Can Ishii win it all? Or is he going to lose to Okada?
Man.
Are they strapping the rocket to my boy?
Yeah, it's kind of looking that way.
So night one of the second round, we got Okada Nagata, as Kevin said. We got Togi Makabe and Tomohiro Ishii, Yano and Hiromu and Ishimori and Kanemura.
Yeah.
This is what I watched Saturday night because I've been busy with the work and shit. Again, I love Kevin Kelly. And, Tony, to your question last week, the dude on the TV is sitting in the same row as them. He's just social distancing.
Oh, for real?
For real. I noticed it when I watched the last night of the first round. He's like 6 feet to the left of the guy sitting on the left of the TV. But to get all three guys in the shot, they put the big TV between them so they can get all three guys right there.
The Takahashi Yano match was on this show.
Yes.
Okay. You know what? I was really starting to hate it because Yano was like doing the fucking Jado thing where he had a brass knuckle here and a brass knuckle there.
No, they were not brass knuckles.
They were clippers. I get it, but it was kind of the same thing. But my fucking boy, the fucking Tsuji, the young lion, got duct taped to fucking Takahashi. What'd you think of that? That was fucking hilarious, dude. And they're hopping, fighting him. And then they fucking tied up Yano and they stuck him in the elevator and they sent him to the basement. And then the two of them were trying to figure out how to get back to the ring to get in so Takahashi would win. That was funny shit, dude.
Yes.
It was off the beaten path of New Japan, but I enjoyed the shit out of that. I couldn't stop laughing at myself.
Well, that's a Yano match, like to a T. And they set it up because there's history. When Hiromu was a young boy, Toriyano beat the shit out of him and shaved his head. So Hiromu was like horrified. And that night four, six-man Tony, or eight-man, yeah. They teased that with Yano with the Clippers.
Chasing him around, which I thought was overkill, but his fucking fit, dude. For some reason, this won't work.
Hiromu came out with a fucking helmet on. He was fucking all hesitant, worried about the match. And then Yano was pulling Clippers from fucking everywhere. Hysterical shit.
Go ahead.
I thought it was one of the better comedy matches that they've done.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it.
And it makes, in my opinion... So now Hiromu gets Big Tom.
Yes.
In the next round. And Hiromu,
that's a tough pick.
So Hiromu beat Hanome, and now he had I know Toriyano falls into he's a heavyweight, but the match wasn't like a heavyweight match, so I'm telling you, I think they're going Hiromu and Naito.
It's possible.
I don't know why I thought Ishii is fighting Okada in the next round.
No, Okada's got Ishimori.
Okay. What'd you think of the Okada match this time around with Yuji Nagata?
I really liked it.
Yeah, it was good. And it was a fucking big step up from that abortion in the first round that they fucking stuck Okada with.
Yeah, and Kevin Kelly trying to sell me on that match against the Jado. He's like, oh, they had a classical. Like, I know he's being sarcastic.
Get the fuck out of here.
I know he's being sarcastic. This was a fucking... And Okada did not use the Rainmaker again to beat Yuji Nagata. He fucking tapped him out.
He doesn't have a crowd to fucking do the thing to. That's why. So he's got to improvise. It was good shit, man. Yuji Nagata impressed the shit out of me. Twice.
52.
Twice.
52 yeah. years old.
Fucking crazy.
Awesome. And that's only the second time they've ever wrestled each other.
So now Yuji Nagata's been wrestling a lot, right? And he's 52?
Yes.
Yet the fucking Undertaker gets a fucking sob story that we didn't talk about last week about his retirement.
I mean...
Am I wrong?
With all due respect to Yuji Nagata, he's no fucking Undertaker.
No, that's right. He's still wrestling and he's beating the shit out of people like Okada.
So then why would we have a send-off for him?
We're not going to, because he's going to be around for another 20 years.
Who, Yuji Nagata?
Fuck yeah!
I don't think so, buddy.
Hey, how old is Big Tom?
I don't know. I'll look it up right now.
You think he's in his 30s? Because that motherfucker looks old as shit.
Wow.
You don't think?
He may have just turned 35.
He looks like he's in his like mid-40s.
He's old. Ishii?
Yeah, Big Tom, yeah.
All right, who's you get You each get a guess. Price is Right rules. Closes without going over wins.
Oh, God.
45. I'm probably wrong, but I'm going for 45.
I was going to say 46. So I'll say 47. Have a little gap in there.
Tony wins. He is 44.
Well,
I mean, you were closest. You both lost because you went over, but. Yeah, Big Tom's 44.
Right. I'll give Tony the win. Tony feels bad about the list today, so I'll give him the win.
I don't feel bad about it. I was just disappointed.
Yeah, you just sucked at it.
Well, I mean, we'll call him A, we'll call him B.
About to start doing it. We should do a trivia thing every week, too, by the way, between the three of us.
A trivia thing? That sounds like it might be fun.
I could do trivia.
Every week, like someone hosts between the other two.
A showdown.
These matches just feel like they were fucking years ago. And I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this fucking this night of the show or whatever you want to call it. It's fucking crack of dawn for us. But.
Well, shit's going to pick up real fast this week.
Oh, of course. You got back to back to back, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So wait, when does it start? Yeah. It's Wednesday morning?
So Wednesday morning, we get our last four matches of round two.
So there's nothing tomorrow morning.
So
Wednesday morning is going to be the end of the second round, and then we got the third round and the third round.
No, then you get the third round and then the fourth round.
So they're doing all the third round and then the finals?
Yes. No, they're doing – so we went from 32. This is the field of 16. July 2nd will be the field of 8, and July 3rd will be the final 4. And then your finals will be July 11th.
Ooh.
I'm off July 3rd. I can watch live, baby.
So we're
going to put that shit on all this weekend, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, when I get up in the morning.
Yeah. So Wednesday is Ibushi Taichi, Sho versus Sonata, Hirooki Goto versus Evil, and Yoshihashi against Bushi. It kills me that I think Yoshihashi's going to make it to the fucking Elite Eight, which is disgusting. I hate Yoshihashi.
Did we sweep or anything in our picks or? How do we do in our picks?
I think Matt and I got all four matches. I don't remember your picks.
Kevin took Yano.
You know why I took Yano?
Why?
He fought Himura, right?
Yeah, he fought Hiromu.
Hiromu. You know why? Because I thought that Hiromu was Yano.
Abu.
I wanted Hiromu, and I thought his name was Yano. And so that's why I picked Yano. Yeah, so I would have swept if,
yeah, I think Matt and I definitely swept, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I have the. They're on the computer, but I'm not pulling them up because I don't want everything.
Still in the crush.
So, yeah, we got a. It'll be a busy week. There'll be picks made every day. Well, at least picks made on the second and the third.
Picks made every day.
So, we'll have to make our picks Wednesday night, and we'll have to make our picks Thursday night.
Just please send me reminders.
I will send you reminders. But I'm enjoying New Japan being back. Also, their Lionsgate project starts Friday. I can't believe it's
Filthy Tom.
Ugh. I can't believe it's the 4th of July weekend already either.
Did you just Filthy Tom?
I hate fucking Tom Lawler.
Oh, boo.
Tom Lawler's been doing some good stuff on that Pulp Fusion shit. You don't think?
I didn't see MLW this week. I know they're coming out with a new show.
He was writing a letter to his dad where his dad never like talks to him or some shit.
Well, I mean, would you talk to him with those cauliflower ears?
It's kind of goofy. He should
hear you. They're bringing back MLW Underground TV series.
So what is that? Is that the old show from the 2000s?
Yes, I believe so. It hasn't been on TV in 17 years. The hour-long series lasted 34 episodes from April 2003 to February 2004, and it was on the Florida Sunshine Network and featured Joey Styles as the host and the play-by-play commentator. Fans will see matches from CM Punk, Terry Funk, Kojima, Vampiro, Chris Daniels, Daniel Bryan, Dusty Rhodes, Mikey Whipwreck, the SAT, and more. The first show will be headlined by Christopher Daniels against Vampiro from the ECW Arena, and that'll be July 11th.
Cool. Just a quick this and that. This past week, they detailed Contra Unit, and I understand Contra Unit hasn't been around all that long, but they picked two great matches. It was a six-man with everybody but Akira Kwan against the Stronghearts. That's a great fucking match. Where fucking El Lindemann fucking powers up Jacob Fatu in a delayed German suplex. Like, he pops his hips, and he holds him up, and then he goes back with him. And on top of that, I forget who the big guy is from Strong Hearts, but he fucking powerbombs. He powerbombs Simon Gotch on top of Joseph Samael, which was fucking amazing. It's such a great fucking clusterfuck of a match. And the main event was the match from recently where L.A. Park cashed in the golden ticket, where Selena De La Renta eats the fucking spear at the end of the match.
Oh, from Super Fight.
Oh, great fucking matches. Both really great matches. I'm really getting sick of fucking Contra Unit, though. I hope somebody beats the shit out of them. I hope it's... I swear to God, dude, I'm fucking done with them. I hope they fucking lose big time. Hope the Von Erichs beat them up.
The Von Erichs.
Everybody's out for them, dude. Even when Injustice is out for you, you know you're bad. Like, you got to get your shit fucking beat up and get out.
So, all right. It
was good shit.
It was good shit. In addition to the Great American Bash this week, we also have Fighter Fest, which is taking place on AEW. And they are stacked to the gills. Wednesday night, the tag titles, Kenny Omega and Paige take on the Best Friends. Hikaru Shida takes on Penelope Ford for the AEW Women's Championship. Cody takes on Jake Hager for the TNT Championship. MJF and Wardlow will take on Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus.
Michael Jordan and Wardlow.
And Private Party will take on Santana and Ortiz. And then next week, Moxley, Cage, Orange Cassidy, Chris Jericho, FTR and the Young Bucks against the Butcher and the Blade and the Lucha Brothers, Lance Archer, Joey Janela, SCU against the Dark Order, and the Dark Order will be Brody Lee, Stu Grayson, and Colt Cabana, and then Nyla Rose will be in action with a big surprise and announcement.
Speaking of surprises and announcement, wasn't Renee Young supposed to make some announcement today?
Wednesday.
Oh, fuck.
Wednesday,
sorry.
She will. That's okay. She will make her announcement. She's what?
She's quitting.
She's quitting. She's out. Her show got canceled.
She's
got COVID. Right? That thing. Whatever's on FS1 is not a weekly
backstage
show. Yeah, it's
they're only doing
week
it like on pay-per-view days or something. So it's pretty much like Sunday Night Heat now.
I watched that Stone Cold Sessions with Mark Henry today.
I did not watch it yet.
I haven't seen it either. Good stuff. I saw you wrote.
It's very good. I also, for some ungodly fucking reason, watched The Great American Bash from 2000.
Why?
I don't know.
I couldn't even tell you. This is going to kill me. I couldn't even tell you. It's got to be a Jeff Jarrett main event, right?
No.
Big Papa Pump against Booker T?
No, 2000 is still probably... this era, it's probably got to be like Sting versus like Hogan or Goldberg versus Rick Steiner or Sid versus somebody.
I think it was Nash against
Sid, and then Macho Man comes back. Or is that 99?
I don't know.
Who was it against?
Didn't you?
I didn't get to the main event. I had to turn it off before the Vampiro Sting fire match.
What else was on that show?
It was bad. Chavo Guerrero from the Misfits in Action defended the Cruiserweight title against Disco Inferno, who was with the Filthy Animals, but he was dressed like Kobe Bryant. There was a ton of interference, and the referee actually saw the interference in the ring, but still counted three. And then Hugh Morris's Pops was there, and he passed out, and then Major Guns ripped off her T-shirt to expose her giant bosoms and gave Pops mouth-to-mouth until he woke up and he hugged her.
That's right.
God,
Ric Flair took on David Flair, and Reed and Charlotte got involved. Charlotte actually going as Ashley, her shoot name, handcuffed Vince Russo at ringside. And then Shane Douglas wrestled The Wall in a tables match, and it went from being a single tables match to a best of five tables match.
I remember this now.
Were you
watching this to like prepare to like listen to like a watch along podcast?
No, I just put it on. I'm definitely going to do a watch along to a Great American Bash though for July.
I have a feeling that Conrad was talking about this very card with somebody very recently.
The Mama Lukes wrestled Chronic, and Big Vito never took the hardcore title off of his waist, but it was Johnny the Bull was the hardcore champion. Big Vito was wearing the title or whatever. Fuck, what else was there?
I'll tell you what, though. If I included WCW, Chronic would have been on the list, by the way.
Main event, Jeff Jarrett versus Kevin Nash.
Okay, it was Jeff Jarrett. Goldberg wasn't allowed to be there But then every time they went outside, shot from outside, he was driving around in his monster truck.
Wait. What am I reading here? What is this nonsense? Wait. Vampiro set Sting on fire, blah, blah. Jeff Jarrett pinned Kevin Nash after a spear from Goldberg. Conan was the guest bell ringer. Rey Mysterio was the guest timekeeper. Disco was the guest belt keeper. And who was the guest ring announcer? And after all this nonsense, Goldberg joined the New Blood. What the fuck were you watching?
Oh, it was bad. Yeah. Booker T wrestled Sean Stasiak in a boot camp match.
Because he was G.I. Bro.
Hogan needed brass knuckles to beat Billy Kidman.
Billy Kidman.
Yes.
I remember this now because the Filthy Animals were bad guys. And Horace. Jeff Jarrett like enlisted them as like security against Kevin Nash. Oh, my God.
Okay, here we go. So this card led to Bash at the Beach where Hogan got the title match against Jarrett.
Right.
And I actually watched today, out of the blue, the Wrestling with Regret recap of Bash at the Beach 2000. And that, you thought this show was dog shit? That show is dog shit piled on dog food with a dog shit sandwich on the side. This whole fucking time was awful.
The only good thing about that is that we got Booker T as a world champion.
Yeah, but even that match was pretty rough.
DDP, oof. Mike Awesome in an ambulance match where Canyon turned on DDP. He came out in a wheelchair with a halo on.
Yep.
And Mark Madden might be the worst commentator in the history of sports.
Oh, he eats a bag of shit with a side of fucking jism.
There was some blonde girl doing all the backstage interviews that I have no fucking idea. Like, this is all foreign to me, which is why I'm definitely going to do a watch-along. Maybe like a Nitro or something. I don't know. I'm going to do a fucking watch-along to some 2000.
Yeah, we got to do a watch-along for
WCW. Because I don't know why. I fell asleep to the Great American Bash from 99.
Okay.
Saturday night.
Here's one of the matches from the fucking Bash at the Beach. Daphne with Crowbar defeated Miss Hancock with David Flair in a wedding gown match where Miss Hancock stops in the middle of the match and goes, I don't think you guys want to see this match. I know what you came to see. And she started doing that dancing shit that she did with the fucking music and the spotlight and stuff.
Just like that.
Yeah, I also started watching Great American Bash from like 2006.
Vito defeated Norman Smiley and Ralphus to defend successfully his hardcore championship, and Norman Smiley got the Yano treatment where he got trapped in an elevator and Ralphus got the shit beat out of him by Big Vito in the ring. It was horrible, dude.
Yeah. That's Tokyo Dome stuff right there, boy.
Yeah, it was
horrible.
I want to watch a lot of shit that I've never seen before. So I started with a Great American Bash from like 05 or 06. That's where I pulled Heidenreich and Animal from because I didn't even know that was a fucking thing.
Is that the one where it's not like a bull rope match with JBL and Eddie Guerrero, is it?
I don't know because the one I watched, it was Animal and Heidenreich beat Eminem for the tag titles.
Oh, tell me this isn't the Dudleys and Undertaker in the main event.
I didn't get that far.
Where they bury Paul Bearer in the...
I've seen that match.
Yes.
That match was followed up with Eddie Guerrero was feuding with Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Oh, Dominic?
Yeah, but this...
This is just following up...
Oh, Chris Benoit against Orlando Jordan was a match. Orlando Jordan was the U.S. champion.
Chris Benoit during that stretch must have wrestled Orlando Jordan like 100 times. Every time he would beat him in like 30 seconds.
No, this was a pretty good match from what I remember.
Well, Orlando Jordan also went on to wrestle the Ultimate Warrior in Spain for some fucking championship over there. So
a hard pass. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
Well, there you go. Look at that.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to try and watch more shit that I've never seen before so I could bring it to the table.
Yeah, I've been watching just some weird shit on YouTube. Like, I've been watching some of the old Wrestling with Regret stuff. Like, there was some... All right, you're going to think this is fucking weird. I want to say it was out in Oregon or maybe Washington State. These young kids, like, in the 80s, were doing their own wrestling federation in their basement. And they went down to the local public access channel. And they got fucking money and funding from the state to put on a fucking weekly wrestling show. They bought a ring. They started running shows at some armory, and they actually started getting legit wrestlers getting involved in their show and fucking working matches with them. Huh.
Sounds like the Hardys.
It's fucking insane. But these kids were like 11, 12, 13 years old, and some dude's like, some dude shows up, drives up in his car, and he goes, yeah, I'm 16. It turns out he was like 27, and he had been blackballed and like fucking like outcast from all the other wrestling leagues. And he's like, I just want a chance to wrestle. Will you let me wrestle? And they were like, Jesus yeah, sure.
That doesn't sound like the Hardys.
Down the rabbit hole we go.
Oh, it's fucking great. Wrestling rabbit holes rule.
You know what ruled tonight's episode? I want to send a big thank you to Bobby Valla. Vallaverse.com is the website. You got to pre-order that Sergeant Slaughter. And if you're a G.I. Joe fan, pick up all the Action Force figures yeah. as well.
And there's like different bundles that you do to like tiers and stuff to get them, at least from his Crowdox site.
And tell him you want a fucking Iraqi sympathizer Sergeant Slaughter as well. Never been done. I bet you it'll fucking sell out like hotcakes.
I would buy one.
I'd fucking buy three of them.
Nice.
I'd have one fat belly like General Adnan, and I'd put boots on the other one like with the hooks like the Iron Sheik.
That's Are you sure they never made a classic superstar one of that?
They may have, actually, Matt.
Because I know they made a General Adnan.
Who's Adnan?
Did they?
I think, or the Sheik when he was with them.
I think it might be the Sergeant
Slaughter one, though.
I don't know.
We got to look into that.
Probably would have taken away from the fucking G.I. Joe shit. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Are you guys doing that weird trivia thing this week with that other podcast?
They got to let me know what time they're recording. So, yeah.
That's all Tony. I don't want to take the chance with my weird setup and having something go wrong like it does every week here.
And I asked him, and I hope I wasn't off-putting, but I got to take my kid to a fucking appointment at 5:30, but I'm good the rest of the night. So if they're recording regular time, I'm good to go. So... That's all the, right. What is it, the Wednesday Night Wallop?
Yes, Wednesday Night Wallop. So keep an ear out for that. Tony might be dropping some knowledge there.
Yeah, or getting my ass kicked by these youngins with these fucking trivia questions from the mid-2000s.
That's what I'm worried about, too.
You could always text Kevin, and Kevin can answer them through text.
I could do one of them, like, earpiece jobs, and I'll have, like, Kevin, like, listening in.
I'm worried about it, too, man, because that's a whole mishmash of stuff.
Listen, we're experts. We've been... No. What did I fucking lose my mic? What the fuck happened?
Yeah, there? You cut out for a second there.
Shit, that's bad technology.
We're working on it. Hopefully we're closer to getting in studio than doing this.
Sorry, that's loud.
It's okay. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. ShiningWizards.com. If you're looking to pick up a t-shirt, ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. The PWT 4th of July sale starts Wednesday. Throw in that code America at checkout and you will save yourself 20%. If you're still getting that money from the government and you want to support the Shining Wizards and some of your favorite independent wrestlers who aren't working, Pro Wrestling Tees is the best way to do that. And again, America at checkout saves you 20% free shipping on any orders over $150.
Ooh. Who doesn't want to buy $150 worth of Shining Wizard shirts?
Right? Buy five shirts.
Yeah.
Now with 20
friends and family.
Now with 20% off, you could probably get 7 shirts.
Good call, Matt. Good call. I like your
thing.
At Wizards Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Give us a follow. Chat us up. We've been kind of quiet on the Facebook. Tony did share the Dave LaGreca cameo from last week on Facebook. So
fantastic.
So good.
I guess we'll get back into doing shit on Facebook. And we'll be back next Monday night, 7 o'clock, on The Rant, rantemradio.com. Of course, if you're listening to this in podcast form, we appreciate it. Leave a review. Share the link on social media. And watch us on the hot mic.
Hot mic.
That's all I got. You guys got anything else before we go? I got to go make Barramundi now.
What the fuck is Barramundi?
It's a fish.
And why are you making it on a Monday?
Because if he was making it tomorrow, Kevin, be a...
Barra Tuesday.
Harry Danglers.
Harry Danglers, baby.
I wrote
Never
it down.
Never shy away from a Harry Dangler.
We are the bar.
There's a 365 this week on our favorite Ricochet.
Great.
Tune in.
I'll watch a bad WCW from 2000 instead.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice.
All right.
All right. We'll see you all next week.
And whatever. And where's the button to send you all home? Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.